Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Bruce Lee, oh wow! Kane, wow! Wow! And he was the wow! I'm back. The governor's back, stronger. And I'll be back stronger and better than what I ever have done, like. I promise you that. I didn't get nicked because I had my arm broken. And although I bit a few people, like, it was nasty. He said, you'd be walking up the street one day, like, Aylesbury. You'd be walking up the street there and they'll get you with a crossbow through your throat. I think I was just a hardy fella, like, a hardy boy, like, you know. But I could grab people and bite them at the same time. I said, what are you in here for, mugging little women? I said, you're not big boys. Big boys! I said, I'm knocking on now. So what are you like? What can you do? Give it a punch! He f***ed himself. I'm looking at him. I kill you! And knife and a caution and all that, like, yeah! And he's looking at me, and we went white, and then he's gone, like. People were getting killed in the door as well. Doormen were getting shot at work, and it was crazy. The 80s, everyone. The torture and bumming people was a message sent out to us. I thought it was disgusting, like, you know what I mean? They thought it was all over for me. Life has only just begun, like. The governor's coming back! You don't need that. It's in your head here, happiness. Happiness is a condition of mind, not a result of circumstances.
All right, you're in for a treat today. We've got Norman Buckland, friend of Matt Legg. We did one with Matt Legg recently, both in very high regard. Norman, the governor, we've got so many just insane stories of what he's been through in his life and what he has achieved. And also at the end, you know, reflecting on how he helps wayward youths and steers them away from crime. So there's the redemption as well at the end. So huge thank you for Norman for coming on.
Hey! Who's the governor? I'm the governor! Hey, and I'm coming out of retirement. I'm back in training. 12 months, I'll be back with my sparring down. The governor's gym! So I've been a bit iffy the last few years, but I'm back. The governor's back, stronger. And I'll be back stronger and better than what I ever have done, like. I promise you that.
Before we go back to where you grew up and all that stuff, we like to start with one of your hardest hitting stories. And I know there was one where you fought four men with a broken arm. Is that a good one to start with?
Yeah. It was, I won't mention no names because I bit 69 stitches in. I'm not trying to humour violence or anything, you know what I mean? Because, you know what I mean, the youngsters and everything, I try and say no. But it was the way it was, like, you know what I mean? And I got a broken arm straight. I was an idiot. I put my arm up to stop the hockey stick, and it instead of breaking the hockey stick, one hockey stick did get broken because there's one down, like. But
where did it get you on the arm?
Yeah, it broke, smashed that arm. It'd done a lot of damage to the other one as well. But mainly across the back, I was being hit, like. But I could grab people and bite them at the same time. But I think I was just a hardy fella, like, a hardy boy, like, you know. it should have never happened. Like, you know what I mean? I was out when one of the boys out, well, got attacked, and it was, I think it was his fault. Like, I think he aggravated them, like, and he had it coming from them. But of course, because they had the hockey sticks, I was trying to take the hockey sticks off them. I had them at one stage. I had the hockey sticks. And I was, you know what I mean? And the matey boy, a lot of times I get pulled into fights and they think I can take the world out, like, you know what I mean? Because I rear up and I scream and everything, like. But I'm only human. I don't want to get involved in fights. I want to keep out of fights. But I give them the hockey sticks back and they fucking carried on, like. But it was the fella's fault. Paul, his name was. He should have kept away from it. It was his fight. And when they started throwing the hockey sticks around, I started protecting him and that, like. And it was firm-handed. It's the way it went, like. I got my arm broken. Thank God, like, I could have got nicked seriously. I remember I had to go to court as well because Dean Garrity, a mate of mine, scaffold, ex-scaffolder, he got nicked for the night, like. He was with his missus, like. He stuck up for me, like. I didn't get nicked because I had my arm broken. And although I bit a few people, like, it was nasty. But my heart goes out to them and their families. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry I brought it up. Like, you know, I shouldn't have started. I blame myself for sticking my neck out with someone else. And God bless them all. Like, I hope they can forgive me. Like, someone told me, like, months later, he said, Norman, they've not forgotten that. I said, why? I said, what? He said, you'll be walking up the street one day, like, of Aylesbury. You'd be walking up the street there and they'll get you with a crossbow through your throat. And that always fucking remember that, like, you know what I mean? That never, and when you bite someone, he put 69 and he's up trying to bite his fingers and everything. He went for my eyes and that. It turned really nasty. I was an ugly fighter sometimes, but the point is you had to fight for your life. And, let's get off this one. It's a horrible one, isn't it?
One thing to give you, Norman, one thing about listening to your interviews is you've got a strong sense of justice. And a lot of the situations you get in is because you're protecting people or they've kind of brought it on themselves. Where did you get that sense of justice from?
I think it must have been my dad or my grandmother. I got brought up by my grandmother over in Spain and she'd lived through the First World War and the Second World War. And I was a mummy boy. Well, I loved my mum, I did. Oh, I loved her, Siobhan O'Sullivan, Siobhan Buckland. And I loved her to pieces. But at 6 or 7, I got sent to live with my grandmother. I think my dad could see, my dad was like my grandmother. He was a lovely fella, but they were hardy. He was born in the war, like, you know what I mean? And during the war, and they were hardy people. And because I was gentle-natured, like, I used to love kissing my mum and cuddling people. I used to fall in love with her. I was gentle-natured, so gentle, that me and my brother got sent over in Spain. They were splitting up. I was only supposed to go there for 2 weeks. I ended up going there for 2 years or 3 years to begin with. But sometimes when someone would be from Spain coming back here, they used to drop me at the airport as a kid, as a baby, like, a child, and I'd have to find my own way back here, like, although I had the tickets and everything. It was amazing because I couldn't read all right. And that would be going on for years, like, until I was about 14. I kept coming and going from Spain. And I used to say to my gran, we used to go uptown on the bullfights, the bull runs, me and my brother. I was about 7, he was about 8. And they used to let sometimes they let 6 bulls out at once and they'd be running down the street and you'd have to scarper at the railings, like, you know what I mean? Or around, you know, back of a lamppost or, you know, it was well beyond. That's why I like Philippines now, because it reminds me of Spain back in the 60s, like. And sometimes they'd have fire coming out the awns, a big gas can on their back. And they'd be tossing people in the air and their pants would be on fire. And I think that's the way me and my brother, we used to say to my nan, we're going up El Toros, estando al pueblo. Vamos a jugar con los toros, like. Of course, she couldn't understand it. She was a Londoner, weren't she? And they used the Flencianos, used to be up the town. They speak Flencianos. Los bows, can you use? Los bows. And that was like a Cockney accent, like. So I was right into that, like. And people got killed, like, you know what I mean? And we used to say to my grandma, she goes, okay, be back, don't be too late. And then we used to get a lift out of town on bicycles or a motorbike, and we used to go to all the little villages. What used to have the bull, but the bulls out. And they used to have fire come, and sometimes they used to let a little bull out, and everyone used to get their bottle up and run out, and it was terrible. It was cruel, really, but. You get brought up when you're in someone else's country, like when you're in Rome, you do what the Romans do.
Of course.
You know, when you go to Africa, you respect the Africans. If you go to a country what's Muslim, you've got to respect the Muslims, like, you know what I mean? And I was never racist. My grandmother was never racist, obviously, because they were killing all the Jews and gypsies. I mean, she was a gypsy. Her dad was, what's her dad now? One of the Coopers, George Cooper or Jack Cooper, the family of Coopers anyway, they're all bare knuckle fighters. And she could see with her, like, she had a punched up face and everything. The jeans are there, like, you know, and they were going for it. Hitler was going for all the gypsies. He would have wiped the world of all the travellers. And I'll give respect to the Fury now, like, you know what I mean? Fury, what's his name? Fury?
Tyson.
Tyson Fury, he's not only a credit to the gypsies, he's a credit to the human race, like, you know what I mean? He does whine a bit, like, when he goes to fight someone, he does take the piss, but so did Ali, like, you know what I mean? And Ali, he could go in the ring and take a piss out of the white men, or whatever, be racist, like, and people loved him, we loved him for it. No matter what he said or what he done, like, you know what I mean? And it was great, you know, and hopefully now the racism days are over, like. But the grandmother, she was afraid about the Jews. They were wiping out the Jews and wiping out the gypsies. So she told me, son, don't tell the family where we come from. But we come, and she used to go back. She got brought up by her grandparents, and her grandparents got brought. So we could go, we were losing hundreds of years, like, you know what I mean? Even in the 17th century, I didn't realise that a majority of the slaves over in America were Irish, white Irish, like. I mean, it's terrible what they've done to the blacks, let alone the whites, like. But we was all prosecuted, we was all persecuted, like. And before, the Irish, the blacks, the Jews, it don't matter, anyone with a bit of money, everyone would turn on, or yeah, it's life, isn't it?
When did you start fighting then as a kid?
Oh, I was fed up beaten up by girls, like, you know what I mean? Mm. Yeah, I got levered by a girl over in Southcourt once, and
how old?
I must have been 7 or 8, you know what I mean? And I had to learn to fight, you know what I mean? I was a mummy's boy, like, I didn't know how to fight, you know what I mean? It was in my blood, like, I didn't realise it was going to come out until I was about 14.
What triggered it then?
14, I think my testosterone was kicking in, like, you know what I mean?
And were you this big as well at 40? You know?
No, I was, it was a shame, really, because I was such a lovely natured, like, I used to get, and I couldn't read all right. I could never read all right. I just can't work it out. My nan, she used to get a cereal packet, like, and it'd be grey inside of a cereal packet, and she used to put it down bits at a time, and with blue ink or black ink, she used to write the letters, the alphabet. And it's something to, I found out years later, something I had called scoptopic sensitivity, a coloured blindness. And somehow she would teach me the alphabet. Like, I still don't know it, but and she spent a long time. She was good to me. She spent me the manners the way it used to be, like London and England, like the way it used to be, like, and you'd never stitch a mate up. You, there's something you wouldn't do, like, stitched up. I've fallen out with a few people. When I was down, I was in hospital. I was very ill. I don't think I was coming. I shouldn't have come out of hospital, really. But a few people went Judas on me, traitors, like, you know what I mean? And I was upset, but I forgive them, you know what I mean? I forgive them, like, you know, it's the way it goes.
So as a kid, what did you fantasize about being when you grew up?
Do you know, people used to go on about the Lenny McLean and Roy Shaw fight. And I can remember watching that. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I'm getting a lot of, you know, I can't read or write. Like, I was on the doors at an early age, Big Road Pavilion. The bloke who wrote my book said, I can't put that in. He was on the doors at 10. I said, well, make a few phone calls. You find out I was. He said, I was, but I can't put that. I said, and I was talking to the bloke I work over Windsor now on the door. I've got my license. Can you see that? They give me it back on my 60th birthday. They thought it was all over for me. Life has only just begun, like. The governor's coming back! And, yeah, they give me my license on my 60th birthday. So I'm back on the doors. I'm over the moon with that. I'm just back training. I was ill for a few years, but I'm back training. It's just my solar plex now, what is burst, but I can train around that. And I'm over Oxford looking after the markets over there. And
how'd you burst it?
I think it's the body shots I used to take. I mean, the pro boxers, especially Matt Legg, I used to wind him up. And the YPs, I used to run the YP wing. I said, so you big boys, are you? So you can have a fucking row. I said, what are you in here for, mugging little women? I said, you're not big boys. Big boys. I said, I'm knocking on now. So what are you like? What can you do? Give us a punch. I said, throw a punch in the belly like that. Bang, bang. And people like, even professional when he was turn pro and he was fighting people like AJ James Toney. I was going, give me light, and he'd hit me. And it just wouldn't hurt, the pain. I think it was my grandma. She used to beat me senseless with a slate skin stick, like, when I was a kid, like. But I was pretty good, but because I was a mummy's boy, and I think my old man must have had a word of her, like, just toughen the boy up. And I'd never hardly done anything wrong. She used to beat me, but it never used to hurt. Just got used to it, like, that's the way it was. And you never got pocket money, and you was brought up, like, you know, years in the 18th century or the 17th century. Crazy, like, you know what I mean? And I had a great pain barrier. I could take a fucking hide and just come out of a hide. Like, I'm sure a few times I'd take a beating in the fight, and the boys I was fighting with thought it was over, like, he's fucking dead, he's knocked out, he's finished. But I'd carry on, like, you know what I mean? And they'd be knackered. They'd be, and that's when I used to beat them back up, like, you know? And maybe I enjoyed the hiding. It was crazy. I don't know. But, Roy Shaw, I love Roy Shaw and his family. The other big fella, what's his name?
Lenny McLean.
Lenny, bless him, like, yeah. But, I met up with him a few times, yeah.
Are you saying then, as a young person, you saw these fighters and that's what you aspired to?
Yeah, it wasn't. I thought, like, Ali, like, I'd love to be like Ali, Muhammad Ali, and Cooper and Joe Bugner and that. But for some reason, it was the nitty-gritty street. And although my dad had a boxing club, Aylesbury Meadowcroft Boxing Club, like, and Peter Garnish from Tame, I liked him. He was a good coach, Peter Garnish. Peter, I love you, like. He was a great coach. And he used to get me the good fights with the tall geezers, like. I was a light heavyweight or heavy, like. And about 6 foot. And they used to always pick them tall, like. And I used to get stuck into their bellies. Always used to stop them with body punches. And although I was fighting on the street a lot, I was a novice, like. I don't think I had more than 50 fights. So he put me in for the novices, ABA, like. And I used to box for the home county. Then it was my dad, Pete Garnish from Tane. He was great. I love him, really high up in the ABAs. And if he gave me a fight somewhere, we could travel there for hours, like. If I got there, like, and you look at the other bloke's thing, he said, you're not fighting him. He's somewhere in the ABA, or he's someone too special, like. And he said, no, that's it. And you wouldn't argue if you just done what he told. And he said, no, he was on the way home. He said, I'm not having that, like, you know what I mean? He said, right, I'm going for the ABA and I'm going to tell him, like, what they're up to. Like, it was strict. My dad's club, Pete Garnish, even over in Bletchley Wills, A.B. Goldsmith. I used to box for A.B. Goldsmith. It was strict, very strict, like. And sometimes if I was six pound over or 5 pound over, and they say, no, we're not having that fight, or he's had too many wins, or he's had too many losers, or anything like that. They used to stick me up with a bloke from Sandy Club, Luton, Sock Stewart. Now, I've been told, Charlie Johnson told me, he's a part of the gang of the Migs. There used to be a gang from Luton called the Migs. Sunny Club he used to box for, Sock Stewart. And he must have been about 6'7". Like, he was fucking tall. And I must have fought him about a dozen times, like. But he was great. And the last time I see him is when I retired. I see him in the ABAs. He fought Joe Bugner's son. Remember Joe Bugner? His son was on the scene. His son was good. But I think Sock Stewart stood his ground with him. But he got shot, got killed. The MiGs killed him. Like, a lot of people were dead now.
What was your first job?
First job, I was on the paddle boats over in Spain, like, you know what I mean? But I used to do the markets on the fruit and veg. And I used to go up Spitfield Market, like, picking the fruit. And that's, I'm sure, is it Ray Hill? Is it Ray?
Yeah, we've been to Ray Hill.
Ray. And there used to be this big fella, like, you know, and people used to say, I can't remember name, but I remember his face. I can't remember who was putting the fruit on the lorry. But I used to look at him, like, because they're saying, that's so-and-so, like. And he used to look back at me, like, he used to wink or smile, like, he didn't know who I was, like, you know what I mean? But I was fascinated by tough, hard men, like. But Ray was a lovely fella, like. You expect him to go, fuck off, you little, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he still is, like, a lovely fella. Shout out to Ray Hill.
Ray Hill, yeah, total respect to you, Ray. Like, I used to look up to you as a kid, like. You didn't know, obviously, you didn't know who I was, like. I was only a kid going up to London. And you was hard. They used to, fucking stories they used to tell me about him.
Really?
A right tough
fella. Can you remember any of them?
No, just that he used to beat everyone up. He was a tough man, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd fight anyone. Mm. I think he was at the time in the middle. Must have been about 30 or 40 then. I mean, he must be 80 now. This is must, you know what I mean? This is going back 40 or 50 years ago. He must be 80 now. So he must have been in his late 20s or 30s, like, you know. But he wasn't a bully, you know what I mean? I was only a kid, like, I used to watch him, like, you know what I mean? And they used to go around the market, like, sizing up to each other, like, little body shots and stuff like that. And there used to be the pub, the Jack the Ripper, on the corner. And around there used to be a little calf, like, you know what I mean? And now and again, the marketers would have a punch-up, like, you know what I mean? There'd be someone knocked out on the floor. And my uncle Danny, I used to go up there, and my cousin Chris Doman, he used to take me up there. And when they used to play up, he said, I've got a young lad from Aylesbury, Norman Buckland. And he said, you fuck about, like, I'll bring him up here, like. But I was only a kid, like, I didn't. And then I started meeting these giants, like, Ray. I see Ray a few times. But Ray was a lovely fella, like, although he was as hard as nails, like. He'd had a hard upbringing, like, you know what I mean? He was abused. It was like a lot of the YPs in prison. When I was there, I was surprised how many people were in prison by being abused as kids, like.
Oh, and it's the root cause of crime, is child abuse.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And you expect, like, you know what I mean? You know, they should be pulled aside, like, the fucking... And explain to them what they fucking do to kids. You know what I mean? When they do what they do... It's for life. When they abuse children or rape children or abuse children, it stays in their head for life. It's a little fucking thing stays there. And they end up the rest of their lives being in prison or being in the fights. And what they got to do is leave it behind and move on, like, you know what I mean? Or it didn't happen, or fuck that, like, you know what I mean? But the abusive, like, they've got to understand what they fucking do, like. You curse these children for fucking life and they carry it for the rest of their lives. And it's disgusting, like. And they've got to be told. They've got to be told. You're not going to court just for a child off. You're going to court for fucking destroying a child. And it's not only a child, it's a family, like. And it never goes away. But you got to get through to some of these kids. And a lot of them are dead now, like.
We've got to get through to the government, because the government, these people get caught and they get slaps on the wrists. You got drugs in your house. You're going to get SWAT team raided in 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
Call the cops because a woman's been assaulted or a kid's been assaulted. Yeah, police don't hardly do anything about it.
No.
Sickening. Absolutely sickening.
And some of them, like, you know, they're not going to make it on the outlight. And a few of the boys, we had one who's called Joe Knighty. Matt Legg was there as well at the time. And the Screws called me and they said, look, Norman, I said, we'll put you on the wings. Just keep your eye on them, like. And there's a few Londoners on the other a few old gangsters. Larnold one was called, like, his boy was a good boxer as well. And he said, go on then, sort the kids out. They're taxing everyone, like. I said, who's taxing who? Like, sometimes you'd have a firm from Luton. They'd come in, like, and sometimes you'd, all over the place, like, you know what I mean? And I thought Corby, they'd come in with a Corby accent. I thought that was Scotland, like. Gillespie was a big bloke from Corby, like. And he used to wear glasses, but he ended up, he's paralysed now. They give him such a beat, and he's mentally destroyed, like, you know. But they're getting away with fucking murder, like, you know what I mean? And what they do, you're giving a kid a life sentence. What you do, you're ruining people's families. Think about what you're doing, you bastards. You're destroying life. You're fucking destroying life. A little going to prison, getting a few months, ain't fuck all. You should be fucking disgusted. You should be disgracing the human race. That's all I can say about. I don't know why I hate them so much. Maybe I've tried to help a few kids out, and I've not seen them go through because they've ended up killing themselves or being prison for life. And Ray Hill, like, you know what I mean? And some of the YPs I tried helping out, like, you know, I can understand why he was inside prison all the time. He had his dignity robbed from him, like. And he is a lovely bloke. I love him. Love you to pieces, Ray.
What was your first arrest?
Me? Fuck it. I was quite innocent, really. I only swang on a fucking bar and the shutters come down. Kentish shoe shop, like, you know what I mean? And I got nicked for that, but I was as strong as a lion. But I never chored, I never taxed anyone. Although I was all the work, I mean, we was working all over the place. But I never taxed, and I was good as gold with the drugs. I never got involved in the drugs, like. Steroids I did for a while, and I regret it. I'm telling the kids now, don't touch that shit. Don't touch the steroids. I mean, there's other stuff out there, like, there's creatine, like, you know what I mean? Stick on the creatine, you get the same effect as that, but you won't get the aggressive, you won't want to commit suicide when you come off it, like, it's all shit, honestly, like, it takes over your life, and you want to be in the gym, training, thinking about yourself, and the sex, right, you know, all the rest of your life, like, that's all the steroids do. It's disgusting. It's no different than cocaine or speed or blow. You know what I mean? You don't need that. It's in your head here. Happiness. Happiness is condition of mind, not a result of circumstances. I'm a lecturer. I've had it up the arse all my life. I've been shit and pissed and spat out, like, you know what I mean? But I don't carry that on, like, you know what I mean? I love people, like. I show them respect. I'm loyal. I keep my mouth shut, like, you know what I mean? And I do keep my mouth shut. Not at the moment, like, because I'm telling you stories. But, you know, you got to go through life, you know. And I had it fucking, I mean, I didn't have my parents around me. I had my grandmother. And, when we used to come back to England, I only had my dad, but my dad used to work overtime all the time at New Orleans, where he used to work. So I never used to see my dad. And sometimes I'd come back for 6 months when I was 10 years of age or 11 or 12 or 13, and it was going like that. We had no change of clothes. I mean, a pair of underpants would last 6 months, like, without washing them. And we had a dog called Rebel who used to rip our clothes apart, like, and fucking bite us. But that was, I suppose that was normal, wasn't it, like? And that you'd have next-door neighbour's dog coming in your garden and shit in your garden. But that was the 70s, wasn't it? You know, that was the 70s. That's
packs
the
of
way
dogs running around the streets.
Oh, the ice cream man, wasn't
ice
it, like?
Ice cream man, rag and bone man.
My brother, no, I can't say. My brother, he's a mason, like. He's right up there with a mason. So I've got to keep him out of it, like. But I can remember we was all right with breakfast sometimes because someone would go out and nick all the milks off the fucking lines and everything, like. And I had my mate called Graham Woodley. He used to live up the top of the street, and Graham Holt used to live down that bottom, like. And they were getting funny, like, because their bills were coming in from the milkman, like, and they were adding up, like. And he's going, oh, that's rubbish. He said, my old man used to kick off. I never had all that milk, didn't have that bread. I didn't order those yogurts because it was... Someone I knew, wasn't it? and was touring all the, oh, it was terrible, like, and they all fit, you know, all the street. I used to wear clothes out, we used to get nicked off people's lines. I thought they belonged to someone I knew, like my brother, in the house. So I used to go in his rooms and nick his clothes, and the kids used to chase me down their street. They wanted their trainers back, or their. It was that bad. It was that bad. And I used to work on the market with my uncle, even at early age of 10, 11, 12. Soon as someone was going over to Spain, I'd jump in a car. Like, it wasn't goodbye to my nan, or it wasn't goodbye to my dad or my mum. It was just jump in a car, get your passport, and you'd be off. There's no kisses or hugs or anything like that. And my mum, bless her, like, she come from a hardy Irish family, O'Sullivan's. And the Irish have suffered a lot of their lives, like over in Ireland, the famine, and the British, you know what I mean? They were pretty awful to the Irish as well.
Potato
God bless
famine,
their
yeah.
souls. Yeah. I love you, Irish. You Cork people. I'm one of you, all right?
Are you friend of Big Joe Egan?
I love Joe Egan.
Yeah,
he's a
shout
lovely,
out to
a
Big Joe.
Guy. Big Joe! Fucking love you! The governor!
Check his book out as well, Big Joe Egan, toughest white man on the planet.
Yeah, he reminded me of the big fella. What's his name now? The governor, Lenny McLean. Mm. I always called Lenny the governor, like, you know what I mean? Roy Shaw was the governor as well, like, you know what I mean? But that's from a kid, like, I've always called him the governor, like, you know what I mean? That's why I always... Lenny, I always get, and governor comes first before Lenny McLean, like. And Joe Egan used to remind me of Lenny McLean because he's so big, you know what I mean? And he moves about, like, he's so strong, like, you know? And he's such a lovely fella as well.
Such a gentleman.
And, you know, you can understand him, like, you know what I mean? Taking a few people out in a fight because he's so big. And he was a great amateur boxer as well, like, I think he's... three or four times Irish champion, you know. And Matt loves him, but everyone loves Joe Higgins. Like, he's a lovable person. He's a big giant, and he's been there. He sparred with Tyson, Mike Tyson. He's been there, and he's been all over the world, like, and he's seen it all, and he's been involved. And there should be a film out about him, really, like. And Joey Pyle, the old man Joey Pyle. And my favourite's, who's my favourite? The Godfather.
Lenny Freddie Foreman.
Freddie, I love Freddie. I could just sit there and listen to him for hours, like, and he reminds me of my grandmother, like, and you could see the tears in his eyes sometimes, like, his four brothers went out to war, like, was in the army, like, and a ship went down and his brother was on it, like, and that was it. That was the end of his brother. Then a few weeks later, his brother would come back. You know what I mean? He was one of the survivors out of it. Like, it must have been terrible for them, like. And you can understand, you know, like my grandmother, how she used to beat me senseless with a snake. But that was just the way they were. They were just tough people, like, you know what I mean? She went, go to play with the bulls, like, people are getting killed. I'll come back later. I'll have your tea ready. And that was part of life. People were getting missing. My dad was a good fighter as well, Alfie Buckland. He was great. He was only 5'4", like, but he used to knock people out too quick. And when we used to do that, we even had him with Sunrise, Back to the Future, Helter Skelter. And we used to be working all over the country. And sometimes we used to go into London. They were so secretive, Tony Hayter. It was so secretive for my brother about where we was working. We wouldn't know until the last minute. So we're up somewhere all over London, all everywhere in London, like, you know what I mean? And they said, right, we're on someone's land. You know, but they used to just have the paperwork with someone's manor or house or factory or something, like. And when the police would come, they'd have all the paperwork. And police would come, like, and at one stage it was... they come the inner city, innit? Like all the older, the soldiers, innit? They call them like the soldiers, foot soldiers, and all that. Like, you know,
is this the Andrew Pritchard era?
It's all
yeah,
football. I mean, they used to work for Sunrise, and a few of them had books out, and I didn't realise they were there at the raves. Like, you know what I mean?
This wasn't Sunrise, Andrew Pritchard.
He worked with them.
Carlton
Leach.
Colton's lovely. I know Colton, like. And, you know, it was all those boys, like, you know what I mean? And they'd had books out. I used to say I didn't see them, but they were there. They were there. And Cass, he used to have glasses on, like, you know what I mean? I used to see him, like, with his glasses. I was in one of your films. Was I in a film? Yeah, with Alex Reed. Alex was a nice fella.
We've had Alex on two or three times now.
He's lovely. They love him, like. People love him, like. You know what I mean? He is a nice fella.
Did you fight Alex?
We had a little tear-up down the bottom there, yeah. But he did have me in a locker once. I'll give him credit, like. And I had trouble getting out of it, like. So, you know what I mean? I was telling him to throw the blows properly hard, like. And do the kicks hard. But total respect to him, like, he's a lovely fella, and you can't underestimate him. He always used to say sir. So now when I see people, I call him sir. And I thought, that's Alex Reed, like, because I was so impressed with him, like, you know what I mean? I mean, they go on about cross-dressing, but I've been after half the people in the country cross-dressing. So you can't, you know what I mean? You can't knock him. And he was in the army, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. He was a tough, right hard fella, like, you know what I mean? But a bunch of women what said to me, like, my old man, and I said, you're joking, they're mates of mine. And I've never told them, like, and I'm thinking, well, you know what I mean? What they do in secrets, if it's their business.
Yeah,
like,
not harming anyone.
They're not harming anyone. I think it's a common thing. I couldn't even get my wife's knickers over my head, I'll be honest. Like, I got this stinky pair of tights once. I used to go out and you'd have to frighten people, like, you know what I mean? So you'd have to be, and people would know me, like, locally, like, around Buckinghamshire and that, like, or around the county, they did know me, like, around the country, like, and I had this shitty pair of fucking stockings out of the dustbin I got, and I got there, like, and I knew what I had to say and this, that, and the other, like. I didn't have it, wasn't loaded, didn't have the real bullets in it, a sawn off 12 boys to shout, and just fucking, and I think this woman had these tights, must have shit these tights, it stunk. Oh, and the Jack and Danny, you can sniff the Jack and Danny as well. And I'm shouting at these, hey, if you fucking come back to whatever his name, Johnny's house, you'll get it. You'll boom, boom, you'll get it. And I'll be breathing off of, this is Jack and Danny. And fucking, oh, this stench was terrible, like. And I had it at one stage, someone saying, is that you, Norman? No, it's not me. And they fucking recognised my voice. But that's the sort of things we used to do. Oh, it was crazy, like, you know what I mean? And I had this pair of, and someone put on, they put on the thing when I was saying about Alex Reed. They said, you're saying about, but you put a pair of your wife's knickers and a stocking over my head. I said, that was for a blag, I had the stocking over my head. And I had to do that for a while, but people started knowing my voice. Well, they could see it was me, couldn't they? And you'd have the other stocking hanging there. And another bloke I love the piece is, like, is Buller. Buller, the film, Buller? Do you ever see the film, The Governor, Ricky Buller? Grover. Ricky Grover. Yeah. Now, that'd take me head off to him, like. I was more like him, like. And I could joke about things and see the funny side. Although, like, towards the end, it was getting out of control. The Sunrise and Back to the Future, Helter Skelter. The drug dealers are heavily into that. People were getting shot. I had one bloke taken up the woods and shot. I loved him to pieces. He reached out to me. I should have took him with me, Steve Francis. But it was just as dangerous on the scene I was on, like, you know what I mean? He was a dangerous boy, like. And I'll never forget him, like, because after him I met Matt Legg, like. He reached out to me. And I trained Matt Legg as a in prison, like, bare-knuckle fighter. And he was a bare-knuckle fighter. And he turned pro, and he fought AJ. AJ beat him, but he tore into AJ. One of them was going to go down in the first round, and I thought it was going to be AJ. But, you know, AJ was wild. He was really wild at the time. Like, he's knocking everyone out in the first round. And Matt Legg could have taken him out. Like, but then he went on to fight Tony, James Tony. What was 5 times world champion. James Tony was never knocked out. He was a tough fella, James Tony. 5 times, 5 different from from lightweight all the way up to heavyweight. And he fought the bloke who had his ear bitten off by Tyson, Holyfield. And he beat, Holyfield beat Tyson. And after that fight, a little while, then he fought Matt Legg, yeah. And Matt Legg done well. He done really well. He was fighting all the top heavyweights in Britain as an amateur. Like, he won all his fights. He won the novice ABA after a few fights. Then he fought for the ABA. I think he got to the finals. He just lost the fight. The bloke who beat him lost to Paul Joyce, I think it was. Is it Paul Joyce? The big traveller, bare-knuckle fighter, like. But Matt Legg beat Paul Joyce, like. So it was very close there, like. But he would come out, he'd travel anywhere, he'd fight anyone, like, on the street or in the ring, like. But he was a lovely boy. But just like Steve Francis, he had that thing in him, like, where that aggression, you just could see it, like. And something had to knock him back. That's when I'd give him the stories about, you know what I mean? We had to go up and rescue someone, like.
When we wake up in the morning, we get out of bed and we start our day with Koro Snacks. Koro is a healthy snacks brand focusing on bringing additive-free natural ingredients to their customers with fair prices in bulk packaging. They have everything from nut butters to free-from-baking ingredients to cooking essentials and, of course, the snacks. And the energy balls are delicious.
Oh, they're my favourite, the salted pistachio.
Ooh.
Can't wait to have this this morning.
Let's see what this one tastes like.
Cheers.
Cheers. So what makes Koro special in comparison to others? Their bulk packaging allow them to offer their customers high quality products at a fair price. For a 5% discount on Koro's products, use the code TRUECRIME with no space in between true and crime. The link to Koro's online shop is in the description box on YouTube. Thanks for supporting our sponsor.
He was in hospital up London. Like, he done a rave house party over the Christmas. We were with Sunrise. We should have been there, like, to do the party, but they thought they could do it without us. Like, you know, just his ex, you know what I mean? But that's Cowboy was hanging about with these... The big bodybuilders, I think they were all juiced up. I don't know what they were on, like steroids and all the other, you know, E's and coke and everything. And things started getting stupid and they started pulling guns out and it just went mad in the 80s, just went crazy. Anyway, they beat this fella up, like Neil. We had to go to hospital, like, as a firm of us. I remember Chalky White, I think Chalky White was with me. I know Kevin Wilson from Milton Keynes, the big boy from Milton. He was the big boy as well. Like, he didn't care. I used to do the door with him all the time. I used to try and slow him down because his temp was terrible. Worse than mine, he was. Mark Marsh. I'd done time with Mark Marsh. I was inside with Mark Marsh. Stephen Wilson was there. You could go, you know what I mean? You could talk to these blokes anytime. Everyone knows Mark Marsh, and I hope he's out now. He got 10 years at one stage, but he got set up an armed robbery, like, that someone tipped the police off. It wasn't even a real gun. And they got him, like, and he had 10 years. And I think that ruined him, like, you know what I mean? Silly, like, he admitted he was silly. So when he come out, he come to work for Sunrise and my brother and me, like, and it was those three: Mark Marsh, Stephen Wilson, Kevin Wilson, and a fella called Chalky White. I didn't agree. He used to pull a blade out a lot, but he did used to frighten the fuck out of people, and he did used to use it as well. But things are wild. That's what I mean. It was crazy. Like, we had to go up to London and see Neil. He's in hospital. He was beaten up, tortured. He was in a right mess, like. And his eyes, like, he'd fucking mad. They'd only raped him as well, like. They'd raped him. This is how disgusting it was getting in the 80s. Because I used to talk to Freddie Foreman. He used to tell me about the days of the crazy there. I love Freddie Foreman. He's a lovely fella. And I said, Freddie, it's changed. He says, I know it's changed. And I could never tell him the story. These stories I've never told before, like, but this is what used to go on. This is what I used to tell the YPs, like, yeah, it's changed. in the late 80s, it did change. There are people committing suicide, getting shot, fucking thrown off bridges, and it was just out of hand, like. And I regret, I was amongst the boys, like, maybe I was a leader in a way. I was always at the front of the door, like. Thank God I didn't kill anyone. It was going that way. Thank God I got put away, and I got fired away. It was 10 years. It was 5 and 5 combined, so I ended up doing 5 out of 10. And probably 3 out of 5. So it weren't that bad. But I learned anger and management. And the beast, the anger, what was in me, I learned to leave behind in prison. And this is what I try to get over to the YPs, like, you know what I mean? It's not getting out and being a glamorous gangster, like, not in the 80s. It all changed, like, you know, if you was sexually abused as a child, you was going to get sexually abused as an adult, because some of these people didn't care. They didn't, and raping, like, fucking doormen and stuff like that. I mean, that was a message we got put over. This is what they wanted us to see. This is what was going to happen to us. You know what I mean? Oh, no, not me, mate. You know what I mean? No. It's getting out of hand, mate. So I used to carry a sawn off, and they were pissed off from Manchester, McPhee's, and his brother was really pissed off at me as well, and they threatened to kill me as well. And I was getting it from all over the place, like. So I, stupid bastard I was, I used to carry a sawn off 12 bore around, and it was stupid of me. And it's stupid to talk about it in front of kids or youngsters. There's nothing big about that, like, you know what I mean? It's wrong. It's fucking wrong. But I was in with the wrong lot, and that's the way it went. I ended up doing prison. But I didn't turn out a nasty person. I'd help them, like, you know what I mean? In prison, even now, like, you know what I mean? People come to me and I try and talk to them, like, you know what I mean? Happiness is a condition of mind, not a result of circumstances. And I used to suffer with depression, but I don't suffer it now. I've got a lovely wife from Philippines, like, and since I've been with her, like, I've learnt happiness. And that depression, once that goes, you wouldn't think after, I'm 60 now, you wouldn't think after all those years, as an older person, I could be happy. But now I've got no stress there. It's beautiful. Life is beautiful.
That's great.
And the stories, and where all I can do is tell the stories now. But I swear to God, every weekend, even every day, it was a chore. It was out with the boys, on the raves, looking after groups, all the groups. Every group was there. Like,
we said, how did it start, Norm? Because you did 45 years on the Doors. How did you start onto the Doors?
Well, it was 50 actually. Like,
50 now, is it?
Well, it was. I don't talk. I'd say 14 full time when I was on the Doors.
Yeah,
but I was on Bedgrove Pavilion. I was talking to the bloke I work with now. Like, my dad used to do a Friday disco in the Bedgrove Pavilion, and he comes from Bedgrove, and the pavilion's still there. And some of the boys can remember, because it's just that I had a dad what was very handy, like. So he's bringing me up. I didn't even call him dad. His name was Alf, and my mum was Siobhan. And that's the way we got brought up, Alf and Siobhan. And I used to work for Alf on a Friday night with my brother, another Alfie. And my granddad was Alfie James Buckland. They're all Alfie James Buckland. And I got a son I named after my dad and my granddad and my brother, Alfie James Buckland. He gets confused when he goes up the graveyard, because he said there's so many Alfie James Bucklands. And it come back with the EastEnders. When the EastEnders come out, it come back, the name Alf. What was that bloke called, Alfie? Alfie something, wasn't there?
EastEnders.
Alfie Moon, that's it. When Alfie Moon come back, everyone started nicking the name Alfie again. So, one of my daughters called Siobhan after my mum's. Siobhan, yeah, oh, bless.
Like, it's a lovely name, know. Siobhan.
Yeah, it's the old girl. So, although they weren't there with me for a child, I mean, someone's looking after me now, like, and I think they've been with their... She weren't much of a mother during life, like, you know what I mean? I loved her to pieces. Loved my dad to pieces. I was ever so loyal. I've always been loyal to people, like. I've always been, you know what I mean? I've always loved people. I've always been loyal to people. And since she's been dead, she's been more of a mum, like, you know what I mean? She's She's always about, like, you know what I mean? Nanette now, like, she calls me her big baby. I said, why do you call me a big baby? She said, oh, you are my big baby. I said, that's what my mum used to call, you know what I mean? So it sort of come around, you know, because your parents are dying or they're dead and they're on their deathbed, doesn't mean they've left you, like, you know what I mean? You know, we don't know what goes on the other side. We're forbidden. But, you know, if the spirits can get through to us and give us a few tips, they will. And with me, I've been lucky they have, like, you know.
What was the first door you worked on?
Yeah, that was Beg Road Pavilion. Like, okay. Yeah. But Bucks Nelgo, when I was 14, that was full time. I was there. And I used to do the under-18s disco with I was under-18s up Aylesbury. That was Civic Centre. Then it was, Civic Centre was alive in its day, Aylesbury. We used to have Madness there, Bad Manners, The Damned.
Susie
and the Quad. We used to have everyone at the Civic Centre. And Dave Williams used to get me on the door there because I used to box down the club light. He used to get me on the door and he's going, look, you know, they had Bow Wow Wow there one night. And he's going, don't let the big boys up because they come up and smash the changing rooms up. And I remember the girl off Bow Wow Wow, she must have been only about 15. She was beautiful, like, you know. And these big heavies come up, like. I said, lads, you can't come up here, like. I said, what do you keep smashing up the room for, like, you know. And then I was brought into it from a kid, like. And, everyone was there. The Piranhas, Bow Wow Wow, the Stones. All the groups all over the world were at the Civic. Unbelievable what Aylesbury was like. You go up Kingsbury Square and they'd have the, what would they have? The Red Lion was all the mods in that pub. And then you'd have the punk rock pub, the green, the Lobster Pot, was it? No. There was the Bikers Pub. They had a Bikers Pub there as well. They had Britannia was Rockabillies and Teddy Boys. The Nag's Heads was Skinheads. The Green Man was Punk Rockers, that's it. The Red Lime was Mods. That was the Mods. And there'd be different pubs for different. So when they'd have a show on a Saturday night, the Saturday nights we'd be working on the market doing the fruit and veg. And there'd be all skinheads up there going to watch Sham 69. Then there'd be all punk rocks going to watch whatever her name was like. Adam Ants was there and all that. Everyone was there. Like, then another night, there'd be like another day, there'd be thousands of skinheads or punk rockers or teddy boys or rockabilly boys. I like the rockabilly. They was good, didn't they? The Stray Cats and everything they had out. Aylesbury was the place, like, you know.
Did you like Ian Jury?
Oh, he was great. Yeah, he was there, Ian Jury, the Blockheads, like. He was fantastic, bless him. He had some good songs out, yeah.
The first single I ever bought was Holidays in the Sun, Sex Pistols.
Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
Mine was the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash, remember that? That's the first, and I took it home, and I couldn't find it again. And my dad said, I had some friends home, some girlfriends, like. He said, they picked it up and took it home with them. And that's the way I learned, like, you know what I mean? If you don't look after something properly, like, it's going to get given away, you know? But I was mad about Slade. I took Nanette to see Slade the other Christmas. I love Slade. I don't know why, but that kept me going through. It's kept me going through the 70s, like, you know? Slade was fantastic.
What was life like for you in your 20s?
20s, I used to suffer with depression, but I was getting handy then. Like, I was getting really handy. 25, Jesus Christ, I'd fight anyone. Like, it really didn't. But I can say that now. I mean, I'm 60 now, but I can honestly say when I was 25, I would have fought anyone in the country, anyone in the world. I could have gone blow to blows of body punches with anyone, like, you know what I mean? And not even bothered about it, like, you know. But that was then, like, you know what I mean? That's not now. And I could have taken it better places, like, that's when I should have been with the crowd from London, Joey Pole's lot, you know what I mean? Because they would have to get people like the big fella, what's his name now? Sugar Bean. Sugar Bean, the big boxer? Four rounder, the king of the four rounders. There was Sugar, Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo.
That's, I would have, I love Kimbo Slice. Even when I was up there fighting up London for Joey Pyle, I was in my late 40s then, like, and I had trouble with my chest then. And I kept going to the doctors, like, and they sent me down the hospital. And they said, "You've been shot." I said, "No." They said, "But there's lead in your chest, like." And I'd been shot, and I still got the lead in my chest now. I should have had it out. But my granddad died when he was 54, heart attack. It was all the things blocked, the arteries blocked, and everything. So when I was fighting with Joey Pyle, I was more of a street fighter. I loved the entertaining. Prize fighting to me was fighting. Prize fighting. You didn't have to go in there like a boxer. And they did have professional, ex-professional boxers, top ex-professional boxers there. And some of the boys were journeymen. And a journeyman was a good boy. It didn't matter if he won or lost, you know what I mean? And some journeymen, they'd knock some good pros out as well, like, they'd knock some good prize fighters out. So, but I said, can I have some, you know what I mean? Like Kimbo Slice and he's going, "No, you get what you're given, like, and that's it, like." And one was Dave, I suppose, like, blessing my mate Dave Courtney. But I said, yeah. They said, "Would I take a dive?" And I couldn't take a dive. And I think they knew it as well. But I would have tried for Dave because I love Dave. Like, you know what I mean?
How did you meet Dave?
I've known him for years. Like, he's always, do you know, but what they got into, like the drugs and what, well, I shouldn't say, but what they got into, they never took me, like, even young Joey Pyle, never got me involved in the dirty stuff, like, you know what I mean? And I respect them for that. I ain't got a bad word to say about them. I mean, when the old man Joey Pyle died, the London world collapsed, like, it was over, like, it was all over. And it was coming away at the scenes, and I had to get away from it. Like, I think I went up north for work up north, or I joined up with Spartan. Is it Spartan? And I'll give a belt out to I remember him, a young lad, we used to get up London, box, blue eyes, tough as nails, 13 and a half stone he was, and he would fight anyone. And he was brilliant. Gary Furby, that was it, Gary Furby.
Furby, like. Yeah, we've had him on as well.
Gary Furby, what a lovely fella, you know.
Shout out to Gary Furby.
Gary Furby, my man.
What about Paul Sykes, speaking of Northerners?
Paul, he was down there. He had a night down there at Caesar's Palace. He was down there. But I didn't like, I always had a seat with the VIPs. But I never thought I was special enough. Freddie Foreman would be up there, like, you know what I mean? Lambronos, Dave Courtney and that. And I didn't feel like I deserved to sit with them, like, because they were top celebrities, like, you know what I mean? The books made about them. Although I was a fighter, I never put myself in their class. So a lot of the times I was just sit down in the crowd amongst everyone else. Now and again, they used to pull me out of the crowd. Like, you could tell I always had a suit on and a bit of Tom, like, you know, I was a character. But I never thought there'd be a book out or anything about, you know what I mean? And I was already the governor on the street. They knew I was the governor on the street. They all fucking knew I was the governor. I'm the governor! I'm the governor! I'm the fucking governor! And I've always been the governor on the street. But along come my old mate, what's his name? Roy Shaw. Roy Shaw. And he said, "I'll give you my belt out, mate." He said, "I'll give you a belt out if you fight." They wanted to dust up on a few things. I think there was a few governors about, and they wanted it back in London. And I always say, like, his belt is the London belt, but it was going to Wales, it's going up Scotland, it was going up north, it was going all over the place. It was a London belt, and it belonged to London. And I've still got the belt now Roy Shaw give me, like, you know. And no one else, Joey Pyle and that didn't give me that. Roy Shaw give me that. Okay, let's get this straight now, boys. Okay, and I'm pissed off with some of you haters who send messages along, like, "You got anything to say? You say to my fucking face. You can come around my house. You can knock at my door. You can come around my ring. I won't be boxing till the summer now because I still need another operation, like. I might be 60, like. But, you know, I feel sorry for some of you haters, like. You know what I mean? Because I've tried to listen to you, like. And one or two of them, like, are a bit suicidal, like, you know. But when you talk with them, like, they've got crimes against them. One I was talking to, he had crimes against him, and it was a sexual crime. And I thought, fuck yeah, fuck off, mate. And I thought, how can you even talk? That's why I won't talk to any haters, like, you know what I mean? Everyone got haters, like. I love everyone, so I don't care. But if you try to reason with them, like, and some of them are stinky, filthy, dirty, dirty. And it's a shame, you know what I mean? It's a shame. So, you know, if anyone's got anything to say, if they want to go down the ring with me, you're welcome, like, you know what I mean? Matt will be come down in the summer, like. My son, Brandon Buster Buckland, he's a good boxer. He keeps coming down here in the mornings and training down the ring, like, on a punch bag and that. I can hear him, like, you know. But I can't. I've still got another operation. I'll be out of action for about 12 months. But I'll be back. The governor will be back better and stronger than ever. I'm the governor. Remember this. Who the fucking governor is, like. I'm the fucking governor, okay. Lenny McLean was special. I could never live up to Lenny McLean or Roy Shaw. You know, there was Paul Sykes and there was the Leighton Buzzard.
What were you saying about Sykes at Caesars?
Yeah, he was at Caesars, like, yeah.
What
happened
there?
No, he was just there for a night out. He was there for a night out. But he was, I mean, people have a pop at him about in prison. Like, I think he shared his cell with a couple of times with Purple something. Purple Aki. Purple Aki, but...
Did you bump into Aki in the system?
No. Do you want to measure my muscles? No. Apparently he's very intelligent, you know?
He does a lot of legal stuff for the prisoners. That's why he gets a pass on things.
Yeah, no. Apparently he's very, very intelligent, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's taken in the court, the police at times, and saying, well, I never done nothing sexual, but they've not actually got him for anything sexual. So he got a lot of his crimes, and he sued the police at one stage. But he used to follow people about, stalk people.
He used to come and feel my friend's muscles in my hometown when I was a kid. And they'd squat him and stuff.
Yeah, on top of his, and he got on top of his neck.
He got banned from my hometown. This was in, like, I think 1991, something like that. I went to America for 16, 17 years.
Whereabouts?
Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
Come back. Front page of my news, Witness Weekly News, is he's on it. He's still feeling muscles.
I know.
All those years, and he got the ban overturned for racism.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's extremely intelligent, right? But he does stalk people. There was one fella went on holiday to get away from him because he was stalking him. Mm. And he said, next thing, he got a plane and went on holiday with him, like. He was a terrible stalker, and someone went to hide under a train, God bless his soul, like, and got run over by the train. But someone, I can't work him out, Purple Aki, at all, like. I think I'd rather, people like that, I'd rather just keep away from, like, you know. God bless him, like, you know, I can't work him out, but he does stalk people, and he's a big intimidating man, like. It's just like the stories I told you about some of the boys at the raids getting kidnapped and raped, and you don't imagine it goes on, but it does go on, like. I mean, this boy walks, he can still walk around Liverpool, and no one says anything to him. How come he can walk around Liverpool when he stalks people and pesters people and that, like? You know what I mean? It's on, but it does go on, like the raves.
They got him recently. They shot fireworks at his head.
Yeah, I see.
And he didn't even blink.
He was doing martial arts, wasn't he? You see that? Bruce Lee. Oh, wow! Kane. Wow! Wow! And he was the wow!
A rocket hit his head and fizzed off his head. He didn't even blink.
No!
Didn't even blink.
He was like King Kong on top of the Eiffel Tower, on top of the tower, and the Spitfire's coming down. I'm all like, but I thought, fucking him. Yeah, someone could have been shooting him with bullets and he would have been trying to do his things, like. If they can get him and sort his head out and put him on something, like, take him off the street, because apparently he's very intelligent, like. I don't agree what he's done in the past, like, you know what I mean? But it's all been white. He's taking the police there on the court and won his case, like. So obviously he's very intelligent, like. There'd be a spot out there for him somewhere where he can just concentrate on what he does, like.
Well, in Walton Prison, they said to him, Aki, you gay? He says, no, I'm not gay. He said, they said, well, why don't you just get a job as a masseuse?
Yeah.
And then you can feel people's muscles. You don't have to stalk
people.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. You know, that when I'd be in prison, it don't matter if the kid was doing life, like a YP, like, was doing life, or he's in for DD. I wouldn't treat him no different, like, because, like, at the end of the day, I'm in there doing bird, they're in there doing bird, like, one's going to have it hard, he's going to end up doing life. We had one boy would come in, he went into a shop, what was it now, a shop where you get your passports done, and what they
call post office.
A post office, like. And he robbed it, and on the way out, he opened the door, and he turned around and shot the girl in the head.
Oh,
blew her head off,
no.
Like, you know. And he was, I don't think he was, it's probably still away now, like.
Oh.
But the point is, what he done was wrong, but what we all done in prison was wrong. But the point is, I could only tell him what's coming up, like, you know what I mean? What he's looking at, like. And I used to tell him, yeah, I used to be good as gold with him, like, you know what I mean? And I'd had it hard as a kid, but because I had it hard, I never dished it out on anyone, like. I was never a bully, and I can tell that to anyone here, like. I didn't bully people. I used to love people and help them. Of course, I used to give the governor all the, who's the governor? When I used to get in the ring, like. But that was just to draw people in the ring. That was just for fights. And when I was there, I would fight. I had to fight anyone. I had one bloke in the crowd chat, and I jumped out and knocked him out. But it was, he's supposed to come in the ring and fucking offer the fight me, like, not outside, like, you know. But it's like now I don't gamble. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't take drugs, like. I'm happy with the natural gift is my wife in life. I'm happy with her, like, you know what I mean? And all I can say with these kids what are going through it hard, do the best you can. Try and do the best you can. Like, if your mum and dad's dead, like, or you're close, your brother or sister, they'll contact you. You know, they're spirits, but somehow they'll contact you. They'll let you know. They'll try and guide you the right way. You know, just fill out there, like, don't give up on nothing, like, you know what I mean? And happiness can come at a late age, even at 60, like, you know what I mean? And I'm more concerned and I'm more happier now than what I ever have been all my life, you know what I mean?
What about in your 30s then? You've talked about your 20s. What about in your 30s? How was you?
It started to be downhill a little bit. I mean, up to my 20s, I was at my peak at 25, like. And I could still fight anyone in the ring. Well, even when I was 50, like, 55, I'd spar with anyone down the bottom, like, you know what I mean? But when I was getting older, like, instead of going out and making a big thing about it, I used to tell them to come down the ring, down the bottom there, like, great big 23-foot ring, like. I mean, a lot of gypsies come down. They were tough boys, like. Paddy Duran, he brought his boys down once. One was about 15. And he'd been to my fight at Caesar's Palace. And I thought AJ. But I spoke to AJ before I fought him, like. And he said, you won't jump all over my head. I said, no. I said, well, what? I said, listen, mate. If you come in here for an easy night and you think you're taking a dive, yeah, I will jump all over your fucking head, like. And I said to his dad now, I said, look, sir, I'll shake your hand and your brother. I said, if your son beats me, I said, I will shake his hand and you're the governor. Simple as that. I said, when you fight me, you're fighting for a belt. You're fighting to become a governor. And if you ain't got the bottle, like, if you think you're just a journeyman to come in to fight me and you're going to take a dive, you can fuck off, like, you know what I mean? And I will jump on your fuck. And of course, fucking, he wouldn't go down, would he? AJ wouldn't go down. I floored him, put him in the corner. And he'd had about 30 fights already, like. These boys had had a few fights. And the fights before that, he was British champion. He fought the British champion. He was good. He won all the fights before he fought me. And he was a great fighter, but he was a little bit nervous. And I said, AJ, look, if you're going to fuck me about, you can fuck off, like. I said, because you're going to have to knock me out. I want you to knock me out. And I shook his hand. His brother and his dad was there, like. And I said, who's telling you to take a dive, like? I said, tell him to fuck off, like. And I went to see Joey, I went to see you, and Ricky English. Look, right, I'm on camera now. Now, you can bring them to me and I'll fucking tell you in front of them. You've had a book out. No disrespect. I love you. Like, all what's happened in the past, I've always kept my mouth shut. And things, what's happened, I'll take to my grave, like. And I've seen it all, like. And you've kept me out of a lot of shit. You know what I mean? And there was one fella, he got out of fucking hand, like. He started fucking Roy Shaw. Tina was there, bless her, like. And I spoke to Tina. I went out with Roy. And Joey was there. And we had a little party. The bloke who'd done the train robber, was his son was there. Who's the bloke who went abroad? He's dead now.
Biggs,
his son was there. The party's for his son to get money for his dad. And I can remember Joey calling me up. And the other bloke from up north was there. Was it Bristol? Who's the bloke, the bald-headed bloke? He only looks, he looks a bit like you. No, he's good looking, mind you. You might be better looking. My old mate, I forget, I'm terrible for the names.
Bristol.
Yeah, he fell out with some fella. No, not Bristol. Newcastle. He's got a bald head like
Steve
you.
Steve Rafe.
Steve Rafe was there. Steve, you can tell him this as well, like, you know. And Steve had been roughed. He'd been roughed up by this gang. They had some bodybuilding. I mean, when we used to throw parties for celebrities, like, and Joey's called me straight over, Norman! And, like, fucking, I was there. I had another bloke with me, Gary, I think his name. Well, he was an old mate. And I fell out with him. It's a shame, really, because, Gary, I'm sorry I fell out with you, my old mate. I loved you, like, you know what I mean? And when I fell out with my second missus, like, he was friends of her, like, he didn't do nothing wrong. He was just loyal, keeping everything in the peace, like. And Gary, I'm sorry, mate. Contact me. I'd love to see you again. I'm sorry for people I have fallen out with in the past. There's not many. But, yeah, Gary Rafe called. Gary Rafe was there as well. He'd been roughed up. Joey called me, like, and I had Gary with me. He was a big fella as well, like. And a few of the old boys, like, Norman! Norman! Governor! Oh, come on, when they called me governor, I got up, like, yeah. I used to like being called governor. Like, everyone would look around, like, you know. And these fucking bodybuilders there. And Steve was being roughed. Joe was there, like. He called it his brother, the taller fella. He was there. Like, a few little firm was there, like. And I looked at these fucking big bodybuilders, and they were big fuckers, like, you know what I mean? I looked down at Joe, and he had a kitchen knife, like a table knife, in his hand, like. And I thought, fucking hell, Joey, like. So I didn't scream and shout. What I mean when I front people, like, is that you get in their face, like, you look at them, you disbarge them, or tread on their toes, like, or give them that snigger, that nasty little thing, like, you know what I mean? That you don't give a fuck. I've been doing the doors all my life, like, so I know what to do, like, you know. And Joey knew it as well, like, you know. And they backed off, and Steve Rafe, bless his soul, like, you know what I mean?
What did you say to them?
I didn't say nothing.
Just a look.
I remember fucking Roy Shaw and Lenny McLean, the look they gave me once. Lenny McLean, a Prince concert, like, you know what I mean? And we had trouble with the security there. And obviously the security brought Lenny in. Because it wasn't just me, it was everyone, like. He just wanted to keep the peace there. And he didn't have to say anything. And it was a stare he gave, like, you know what I mean? As if he wanted to kill everyone, like, you know what I mean? And Roy Shaw, when we buried Joey Pohl, the old man Joey Pohl, like, he was there as well, like, we buried the old man Joey Pohl, Roy Shaw was there, and he looked at me like a volcano, like, he wanted to kill everyone, torture everyone first, then kill them, like, and I'd get in there, and I'd just look at them in the eyes, like, you know what I mean? He won't take them off, and no matter where they move, if their head moves that way, it moves that way with them, or it moves that way with them, like, you know what I mean? And they're with their mates, like, you just look, and you think, well, it's going to kick off. You know, it's someone's going to get hurt, like, you know what I mean? It's not going to be me. And you're waiting for, I've learnt now on the doors, like, I won't hurt anyone on the doors unless they, last night I got kicked up the arse! And the doorman stopped someone just, because I'm used to the old, I keep skipping things all the time, like, I was with, I've got to get back to this because I can't leave this. Sorry, Joey Pohl, young Joey Pohl and Ricky English. I can't let this go, like, you know what I mean? I said to you boys, like, no easy fucking fights. I want to fight top boys. And I can remember you with JJ. I was rearing up on you, like, I said, this is a setup. You want him to take a dive, or you're paying for him to take a fucking dive. The poor geezer, like, you know what I mean? I, the journeyman to me, I was thick as shit, like, I can tell stories, but I'm as thick as shit. And all the stories I tell are true. Or I might fucking exaggerate a tiny little bit, like, you know, a tiny little bit, or you know what I mean? Because I can't remember everything, like. But JJ, I like JJ. He was a lovely fella. His dad and his brother was there. I shook hands, like. And I think he got told to take a dive, and I fucking told him. I went mad at him. And I see Joey Pyle, and he can't get out of this. Because, Joey, you can come around here with Ricky English, like. The book you writ, like. Bless you, I love you to pieces. Fair play to you, like. You know what I mean? But, you know, and the action men you tried to make, you know, there was a few more action men you tried to let me fight, like. And I told them to fuck off, come down here and have the real fight, like, you know what I mean? But Joey can't get away, but I remember Joey and Ricky English, and they swallowed, they shit it, like, you know what I mean? And that was just before I was getting in the ring. But my cousin, like my nan used to sit me down as a kid, like, for hours. And she used to talk about the wars and this, that, and the other, and what it was like. Then you used to have a cup of tea and the tea leaves and the teas. And she's going, wiggle that three times, like, you know what I mean? And she's going, well, you're going to get, you're going to Wednesday. She said, this Wednesday. She says, on the way to town, like, in a car, the car's going to come off the road into the bushes, like, it's going to be a bad one. The car's going to get messed up, like, you're going to be with your brother, like, oh, fuck off, like, you know what I mean? What's... And I don't know if it's the Jewish in her or the gypsy or something. We got a lift, hitchhiked to lift to school on a Wednesday. We hitchhiked, me and Alfie, he's a witness, and my brother. My brother can tell you all about the raves all over the country. We conquered them. We own them. Sunrise was the big one, like, you know what I mean? But people keep on about me. I have a book out. And on about my brother. But my brother said, oh, my fucking, he's a funny handshake person, isn't he, like, I don't know what they call him.
Palm ticklers.
Something like, no, I total respect for them, like, because they are the top boys, like, you know what I mean?
Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Here's a word from our sponsor, Beer 52. Do you fancy a free case of beer? My co-host Jen may have quit alcohol, but you don't have to keep going with dry January. You can get a case of exceptional beer from my good friends at Beer 52. Simply go to www.beer52.com/SHAUN, Sean. And all you got to pay is a pittance, the postage, $5.95, to claim a free case now. I've been a member of Beer 52 for a while, and I absolutely love it. Each month, they send their members a case of unique and varied beers from a different part of the world. They've also got the Ferment magazine. If you want to study up on breweries, regions, the wonderful world of beer while enjoying a phenomenal selection of fresh and tasty craft ales. Thank you for supporting our sponsor. Link is in the description box below this video on YouTube.
Yeah, I was letting him bang me about in the chest and his kicks and everything. And he said, no. I said, oh, for fuck's sake, Alex. I said, kick me. I'm telling you to fucking kick me now. Kick me! And he was turning around. And I'll give Alex Reed the credit. Like, about a month or 2 months down the line, I had a gut ache, and I kept looking down. I thought, what was that? And it felt like a print of his foot where he'd actually kicked me in the gut. Like, the man fought for a world title. Honestly, mate, Alex Reed, he was such a beautiful, kind, and lovable person. Like, you know what I mean? And he could have a row, like, you know what I mean? I know we knock him about cross-dressing, but I think everyone cross-dresses. I mean, I put a pair of her knickers on once and a stinky pair of tights. I think the woman shit them, whoever was wearing them, lost! And a few blags of it, like, but...
Congratulations to Alex Reed on his family as well. And
lovely, mate. Alex, I love you, like. I generally talk about you, and I get a few bad people coming back to me and saying, oh, he's... But Alex, you was in the army, mate. You could fucking handle yourself, mate. And months later, I could still feel the kicks when you kicked me in the belly and that, and the chest and that, like. And the punches are good, like, you know. And he was a decent man, like, a lovely person, like. And I love you to pieces. Total respect to you and your family. and everyone out there. I love you all, like, you know what I mean? I ain't got a bad word. Up to today, I've always kept my mouth shut. I let my mouth go about a few things, but that's years ago, and it doesn't really matter now. But I've always kept the wall of silence, like. But I want people, now I'm 60, I want people to know the truth, what it was like out there. In the 80s, yeah, people were getting kidnapped and fucking raped and murdered and shot. Steve Francis got took up the woods and blown away. I really regret that because I wanted him to take him to work with me, like. But on the door, it was people were getting killed on the door as well. Doormen were getting shot at work, and it was crazy. The 80s, everyone, and suicidal was bad as well. Towards you, it was all the drugs that was going through, like, you know what I mean. And then the steroids come in at the same time. So the doorman was as mad as the fucking people on all the drugs, like. And you'd watch them to see what drugs. There was one bloke used to try, and he used to turn up at Sunrise or Outer Skelter, and he used to paint yourself green like the Hulk. And he used to hide away in the corners. You go past. He used to jump out as a fucking Hulk, like. Yeah. You think, oh, my fucking God, like, you know. But some of the, you had to laugh. And I did look after people. I was good with people. I never abused people. And even at Caesar's Palace, like, I would never take, I'd never tax anyone. I'm not saying that was a bad thing. Some of my mates, I've got a bloke up north, what's my mate, he's one of the biggest tax, he used to tax everyone, like. But that was his business. Or dealers, if they were drug dealing, like, that was their business. So I didn't agree with it. Now, a lot of things I didn't agree with, like, but the point is you had to tolerate it or to survive. You couldn't be a goody two-shoes. You couldn't grass people up. You had to keep your mouth shut. You know what I mean? So you'd have to tolerate all this, what was going on. And some of the guys I liked, I didn't like what they were doing. But I got along with them, like, you know what I mean? It was still from the 60s and the 50s, and it was a wall of silence, like, you know what I mean? I think it's disappeared now completely, like, you know.
No, man, what happened with the road rage situation where you went up against knives and coshes and...
Oh, bless them, like, yeah, well, bless them, I'm saying, they could have killed someone, like, it was terrible, like. Matt got back to me after that. It was one of his mates, what was supposed to, he was going to be on, he was going to interview him, like, you know what I mean?
How did it come about, the situation?
I was in the car, I was coming home, I was coming back to Ellsbury. I'd just been down the gym in Wolverton, and I'd been training down there. And a car had overtaken me and got in front and slowed down. And I went to overtake it and it fastened up. Then I went to slow down and it slowed down. And they had me on the other side of the road and I was going around bends and everything. And I could only a little 1300, might even be an 1100, a little Escort or something, like a little tiny little car. Like, I had a baby seat in the back seat, like, you know what I mean? And I think I was blown, because if someone come around the other side of the road, it would have been a head-on, like, if they had kids in the car, they would have been killed. It's a shame, because one of the fellas, I think it was a driver, 2 weeks later, got in a road rage and got killed, like, you know what I mean? And his mate, it was Matt Legg's mate. Matt Legg was a fantastic, I love Matt Legg to pieces, like. If there's anyone out there you can trust and you want to go and see him box, I think he'll be fighting. He's making a comeback, like, he's fighting again. It's Matt Legg. He's a lovely geezer. He's a heart of gold. I met him as a kid when he was in prison. Like, he was going down, like Steve Francis, down the wrong road. I let Steve Francis go because I was on the worst road. You know what I mean? The raves, all that stuff. I was the governor at the time. And I thought if he joins me, like, we'll be like the Cray twins, like, you know what I mean? Because towards the end, wasting someone, beating someone up was part of life.
So
you know what I mean?
So did those guys pull over them with the knife and the cosh?
Yeah, yeah. I got behind them and they pulled up. They slowed down in front and I slowed down behind. And I thought, look, I don't want to get out of here. Like, these, you can't fight in cars, can you? Like, especially when you got a little Fiesta, I think it was, 1100 or something. And they had a fast car, a fucking something special, like, you know, a little fucking race car it was. And I thought, if I turn off and race the other way, they're going to catch up with me. And So I watched them. They got out their cars and he come out with a blade and the other one come out. I thought it was a little fucking arrow off a car, but it was a special, what can quite, I was stubborn. You could beat me senseless. You could beat me to fucking pieces. And I wouldn't sort of feel it. I don't know why. I don't know what it was. I didn't feel a lot of pain like another one, I forget. I'll give the story once before. There was one what could punch because he caught me in the forehead a few times, like. And there was three what come out, or four. I think there was four, and one got back in the car and jumped in the car. But they sort of set upon me, like.
Was there any words exchanged before they set upon you?
Well, they were frothing, weren't they, really, like. But I feared more for myself, like, because I knew what my temp was like. You know what I mean? Jesus, I was down the gym benching three or four plates, like, I was, and boxing at the same time, and doing martial arts, like, and I thought, you silly bastards, like, you fucking come to take me on, like, you know what I mean?
Did you have to, like, is it just instinctive what you do next, or do you, like,
Well, it's just like the Doors, like, you know, every time you come out of a nightclub, those years ago, like, I used to work up London, Soho, I used to work all over the place. You don't know if they're going to be there waiting for you, like. So you walk out, like, and with these lads, like, they weren't proper, they weren't drunk either, like. So it's a bit more dangerous. They might have been on a bit of Spear or a bit of Charlie, like, and it was their way to intimidate people, like. But they probably thought I was an old granddad or something, like, or you know what I mean? Or just a simple person. They didn't realise they'd fucked with the wrong person, like. And I saw them and I thought, oh, here we go, like, you know. And he's come over with a blade and I've just grabbed hold of him, like, and I pulled the blade off him, like, and I threw him on the bonnet of the car. They was beating me at the same time, like, but I didn't take one at a time, like, you know what I mean? I've been polite. And I stuck the knife, I had the fucking knife, and I stuck it in his coat. I said, you're going to cut my fucking throat open. You're going to kill me. Look what it does. I ripped his fucking coat right open. His leather coat he had on, like. Ripped it right open, stuck it with his throat. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to frighten the fucking shit out of him, like, you know what I mean? He was over the bonnet of the car. I just threw him over the bonnet of the car. And it's fucking, it felt like a toothpicks, this fucking thing, where you press a button. I had it for years. My kids had it, were playing with it. I had it for fucking years in the boot of the car. I didn't know what it was, a cosh it was or something. But it was like an aerial car. And there was another one called me good headshots. So I forgot to put that in, like. What else they have? They had a cosh, yeah, a knife. And one hit in the car, like. I was running around the car after them. So I had the fucking knife and I frightened him with the knife. I did because that's fucking, he could have killed. Well, you know what I mean? It's dangerous. I don't think these boys are real fighters, like. There was expedition, do they call him, like?
What?
Expeditionist, like.
Was there a moment when they realised they'd fucked with the wrong person? Could you see it in their eyes?
The bloke was in the car, shit, as he went white, like. I think he fainted, like. I'm not. That's Matt's leg. he fainted. He fainted. He didn't even admit that. So you know what Matt done with him? Matt was a big bruiser, trained up in prison, like, and he fought the world champions. If he comes back now, he'll be nearly 50, but he'll still be like a top man, like, and I reckon he'll be back on the scene, Matt Legg. Total love you to pieces. Total respect to you. Do you know, I've taught a man to fight in prison. He's done nothing but show me respect. And he comes over with his beautiful girlfriend. I mean, even his wife was beautiful back in the days. We used to go to the box. I used to have my little kids who were probably 8 and 9 years old. And they used to look at her legs, like. I said, stop looking at her legs, like. She was beautiful, his ex-wife. They said, but you're looking at his legs. I said, I'm not. I'm just looking at her stockings. And Matt was a proper gentleman, lovely, like yourselves. Real nice geezer, like, you know what I mean?
So how did it wrap up, this cosh fight?
It's cosh fight. I was chasing around the fucking car. But I had this knife and this cosh on me. It wasn't like me carrying tools, like. I mean, later in life, I did carry a 12-bore, but that's because the fucking people were being raped and murdered. It's unbelievable. There's nothing really open up, like, you know what I mean? What really happened, my brother could open a book up with everything what happened, like. But he won't. But he should, Alf. He should open a book up, like, you know what I mean? Let the world let the world know what went on. Tony Hayter, I mean, as a kid, I used to look after him. He used to have all over the shops, like, arcades, like, fruit machines and everything, like, as he's still at school, like. Then a professional gambler, like, you know what I mean? And then the Sunrise. And it just got mental, like. We were going to go, he was going to hire a ship and take it out to sea so we could have a rave on the ship. But I was going, fucking silly cunts will jump in the sea, won't they? And they would, you'll have half a dozen people dead on your hands. They was talking about taking it to Europe and taking it to America. And it was getting so involved in, and people are disappearing and getting raped. And I mean, the torture and rape and bumming people was a message sent out to us. I thought it was disgusting, like, you know what I mean? But the boys, I'll get back to the boys in the car, yeah. Anyway, the bloke locked himself in the car.
He locked his mates out?
Yeah, he locked his mates out. They're fucking going to say he locked his mates out of the car, like. He fucking shit himself. I'm looking at him, I kill you! A knife and a caution, all that, like. Yeah! And he's looking at me, and he went white. Then he's gone, like. He's fucking fainted, like. He couldn't open the door, could he? Though, let his mates in, they couldn't get away. And I fucking, he was like Lauren Hardy, honestly. I was chasing him. I couldn't have used it. I wouldn't have used the caution and the knife on them, like. But one was good. One kept catching me with headshots, right? But I think I was enjoying it by then, right? And they managed the fuck. He obviously fucking, he woke up somewhere along the line and opened the door and they jumped in the car and fucking took off, like. But even when I drove off after, I was worried they might come back. So I wanted to frighten the fucking shit out of them. So at least I'd get home to the wife and kids, like. They wanted to come out. They wanted to be gangsters. You want to be a gangster. And this is what I say. If you go up London and you want to be the gangsters with the gangsters, you could lose everything. You could lose your home, your life, your wife. So think about, you know what I mean? It's not good. It's not all the gangsters. I loved all the gangsters. I've learned off them. And I used to be, but I wasn't never a gangster. I never taxed anyone, like, you know what I mean? I never dealt drugs, like. It was just money fighting, like, all the fights, the street fights. I used to get paid for the street fights. I was the governor. I admit that. And they knew that when that's why they wanted me up Caesar's Palace, because I was already the governor. But when Joey,
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Roy Shaw, give me his belt, like, you know what I mean? I loved it, like, you know what I mean? It was great. And the belt come from Roy. It didn't come from Joey or Ricky English, like, you know what I mean? And if you want to argue about that with JJ and the things I told you there when I pulled you because you shit yourselves, I told you, like, no disrespect, I love you all to pieces, like, but I told you, like, no fake fights. My fights have got to be real and they've got to be top boys. And I fucking told you that, okay? You know that, so don't fucking start making silly stories when I started joining up with Spartan. I had to get away. The old man Joey's died, God bless his soul. London has changed. Young Joey done the best to keep it together, like. But things are, I think young Joey's in prison now, bless him. It was going that way, like, you know what I mean? People were starting to grass on everyone, like. It was all falling down. Young Joey, and I was behind Joey. Joey knows it. If you call me tomorrow, young Joey, I'd be there to back you. And you know that as well. Ricky English, I come to you when you was banging trouble. You was in hospital. And you lost. It was terrible what you was going through, mate. I was there for you. I've always been there for the boys. They can phone me up anytime. I'm always there for them. You know what I mean? I've always been loyal. Always kept that wall light. But I'm telling you now, I was the governor when I come up to London, but I won the governor's belt in the ring with the gloves on, like, you know what I mean? I was a street fighter, although I got brought up with my dad's boxing club. I was novice like everybody, ABL. I used to box for the home county, so I could box. And my cousin was saying, Norman, your dad's telling you, she used to do the tea leaves as well, like Carol. And do you know, when she died, a daughter called me around. I went to the funeral and everything. She said, here's the cards. I said, what? She said, my mum wants you to read them. I said, I'm not reading those cards. I don't know how to read the cards. She said, your mum wanted you to have the cards, like. And it even showed in the tea leaves. I was holding the belt above my head, like, and Roy Shaw was, you know what I mean? Mm. And she said, you're going to have the three fights and you're going to win them, like, you know what I mean? She said, but don't get involved in a drug. You know, don't get involved in that. She said, it's a message by your dad. Get out there and box. Don't fight, because you're messy when you fight. They don't want to see that. And I thought, well, it's a governor's belt. That's what the governor does, isn't it? Jumps all over the places and jumps out the ring and in the ring. And anyone what gets in the ring and challenges him, he fights him the next time round. That's why I used to shout, who's the governor? I'm the governor. Lenny used to shout it. Like, I used to love Lenny.
I've got a question about Lenny. Why was he brought in for a dispute between the security firms?
Security firms. It was London. Yeah, there wasn't... where was it in London now? We'd done the Jackson tour. That was London Arena, wasn't it? The old London... What's it called? London... What's it called?
London, the stadium in London.
Eh? No, not the Stucklands. The old football ground in London. Wembley. And then we done Prince, what was Wembley Arena. Yeah, it was Wembley Arena. And they were good as gold at Wembley Arena, like. I mean, there's thousands of people there. I used to sneak in and watch him now and again, Jackson. We used to look after the merchandise, so he used to pay us, like. It was good in the day to say we worked with Jackson, but now... They've nutted him off as, I don't know if it's true or not. You know, it's a long story. Yeah, like Purple Aki, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'd rather keep people like that away, like, you know what I mean? No disrespect, you know what I mean? But I don't know. It's just one of those things. And Prince was there, and the security in Wembley Arena were a bit funny because I had a pass to go anywhere. So I used to look after the merchandise. We was working for Prince. And they got a bit funny about that. I had Michael Dick, was a professional boxer from Aylesbury. He was an old sparring partner. There was a few guys I used to knock about with. Vic Wright was another one from Milton Keynes. He was a professional boxer. And I trained up to him for his first professional fight. All the pros, it's funny, really. I was a street fighter. I was an ex-amateur boxer. But any good pros there was about, like, I used to get in there and spar. Been living here for years. They used to come down and spar with me here. And Michael Dick said, look, you know, if you want to be funny about it, I'll fight you all, like. And I said, Mike, there's no need for that. I said to the boys, like, there's no need for this, like, lads. I said, we're allowed to do this. We're allowed to go where we want. I said, I'm not going to be rude to any of you lads, like. I said, I'm sorry about my mate. But I said, you know, you can't really stop us, mate. We're doing our job, you're doing your job, like. And they were just put out because we're outsiders and having the rule of the manor, like, a little bit of a little bit of spitefulness got in there, like, with no disrespect to them. And the next night, they brought Lenny McLean in. And the bloke who ripped my book, what was his name now? He was a lovely fella. What's his name? Lee Worthley. He said, yeah, that's right. He said, he ripped some of Lenny's books, like. He said, he said about that, like, you know what I mean? And he was good as gold. Lenny was fucking a giant, like, a great big geezer. About 6'3", like, he looked the part, professional, like, I mean, a top doorman, like, I would say, you know, unlicensed boxing, like, they should be a doorman thing with all the doorman, like, you know what I mean? Because he was king of the doorman. Lenny McLean was king of the doorman, like, I've never seen a man what looks more of a intimidating doorman than Lenny McLean, apart from Roy Shaw. They were both there. It's a shame they could have been friends, and it was a shame they weren't friends. Because, I mean, they would have ruled London, like, along with Joe, the old man Joey Pohl and Freddie Foreman, like it could have been great, like, you know, but they fell out. They're both very proud people, but even today people are talking about them. Anything about Lenny or Roy on Facebook or YouTube, they're into it, like, and they were legends, like. But Lenny was there. He looked the bollocks, like, and he had a suit on, like. It's his hands. I can remember his hands were massive. And I admired him straight away. And I thought, fuck, he must be a professional minder. And he was a professional minder. And if they had trouble in the East, anywhere in London, if they had trouble, like, and the boys obviously said, look, the firm's come in, like, one of the boys was a professional boxer and the other fella was, you know, obviously Norman Buckland or from up north or something. I was in Aylesbury. Aylesbury weren't part of London. It weren't part of up north. It wasn't part of Wales. It wasn't part. It was Aylesbury was Aylesbury, like. I mean, from here, we went from Milton Keynes weren't even built, like, when I was doing the tours. Next thing, they built Milton Keynes. We used to go over to Oxford, Buckingham, Tame, Bicester, all over the place. Then when Milton Keynes opened up, I think the first place was the Point. The Point, what was there. And we used to get in the Point and work there. Then we started taking over the Milton Keynes. We moved into Milton Keynes. Started doing all the pubs and the clubs in Milton Keynes. It was great. But I was saying about Lenny McLean. Yeah, I mean, if my old man taught him as a kid to box, if he got brought up and my dad was there and taught him how to box as a kid and he took it really proper, like, I reckon Lenny McLean would have been a good professional boxer, like. I mean, I've got to give him credit, like. A lot of people knock him, like, and, you know, I say, well, come on, like, you know what I mean? He didn't get into the game as an amateur boxer or a professional boxer. He was a street fighter. And some of the boys he fought, like Paul Sykes, he was a professional boxer. I mean, his first 10 fights as a pro, he won, didn't he? And the point is, he come out when he was 30 years of age out of prison. You imagine if he didn't go to prison and he boxed from the age of 20, like. He fought, is it J.L. Gardner? Who did he fight now?
Was it an American guy?
No. He put an American bloke in a coma, didn't he?
That's right, yeah.
And after that, he fought... who did he fight? He fought Gardner or something like that, it was called. No, it wasn't Gardner. It was a heavyweight. And he lost that fight. But you imagine if in the 20s, and he was rated European champion, he was... And he was right, number 10 in the country, number 10 in the world, like. And he put up a good fight with him, but he turned his back at the end and walked away. And it was a shame because, I mean, there was Paul Sykes and there was Cliff Fields as well, like. Cliff was a lovely fella, but it was the drink what finished him off, like. And it was terrible because I used to want to go up and see Cliff, like. All Dunstable he used to be. And then people used to go, you don't want to see him. I said, why not? They said, he's on the street. He's like a tramp, like. And Paul Sykes ended up the same, didn't he?
Yeah, the kids, you know, beating, I mean, him up.
The kids beating him. The same with I was in prison, like, bless. I was away in prison. What prison was I in? An open prison.
I was going to ask Norman before this story, what were the circumstances that led to you going to prison?
Yeah, it's all in the book, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to read the book! Listen, some people play gangsters and they're not gangsters. Like I said, you know, people knock Alex Reed. Like, I'm not a cross-dresser. I'll put a pair of knickers over my head, my wife's. But I'm not knocking them. What they do, like, you know. But there was this nasty bastard, like, and he was a nasty bastard. I used to do the doors. And when I'd go from one door to another, especially in Aylesbury, he used to come along and cause a doorman trouble. Like, it was, we had the rectory where I was working the rectory, like. They called me, I was working the doors over Milton Keynes into the rectory, and a mate of mine got beat up really fucking, really. What was his name, darling? He used to mine for Howard Jones. Leroy Dennis. He was a top boy. He was fantastic. In the 70s, like, he's muscular. His arms, black fella, like. But everyone loved it. All the girls loved it. Handsome man, like. And a really proper, lovely fella, like. And he'd done Howard Jones and that. He'd come back on the doors and he was at the rectory farm. And a group of lads went up there and they fucking beat him senseless with an extinguisher and smashed his head. and he was never the same. And he asked me to go and work with him, like. But instead of me looking after him, he used to look after me. And he was great. We had some great doormen there, like. It was fantastic. But one of the doormen, like, one of the fellas would come up and beat him up. I'll never forgive him, like. And he used to, he'd take liberties, right liberties, like. And he used to make out he was a top boy, like. And again, when I come out of prison, I said sorry to him and patted him on the back, like, you know what I mean? When I went around his house, he wasn't the gangster I thought he was when he came out of his house. I was smashing at his door, like. And I wanted to put the frighteners and maybe shoot him in the foot, like, or something like that. I shouldn't be talking about it, but maybe this is the last interview I'll ever do, so I will. But when he come out of his door, he had a fucking wig on, a nightie. He was a fucking cross-dresser. Oh, my God. I couldn't fucking believe it, like. He wanted to be Jack the Lad, the gangster and everything, like. Anyway, he shit himself and he fainted. He could actually smell where he pooed his knickers, like. You know what I mean? He had, like, a red fuck. Oh, this. Honestly, mate. These fucking perverts and cross-dressers and fucking and rapists and people going around, they were taking over in the 80s, like, and I couldn't believe it. And I let the shot go, like, you know what I mean? And as he's gone down, he's shit his knickers, and he had his fingernails all painted and his lipstick, and I thought, fuck, his wig fell off, like, and he shit his knickers. I ended up blowing a few of his plant pots away, like, you know what I mean? And his car, like, I was laughing so badly when I left, I shot his fucking car windows out a few times, like. But no, obviously I got grassed up, like, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't have killed him. He had kids, so I wouldn't have killed him, like, you know what I mean? I was just fed up with him upsetting and beating everyone up, like, and fucking hospitalising people. He'd been, you know what I mean, with the old Bill, he'd been away for crippling an old a policeman, like, you know what I mean? And I've never had no disrespect with the old Bill. I mean, my horses used to get out down my yard, used to get on the roads. And it was always the old Bill that used to bring the horses back, like, you know what I mean? One was fucking mental. One used to bite, didn't it, and kick and everything, Nanette. This is my wife, Nanette. Come over here, say hello, darling. She's too shy. Filipino. My cousins and a few other people told me about her, like, that I'd meet her. And I thought she was going to be black from Africa. But they said, no, long black hair, like, dark complexion. Then I thought she was going to be from Thailand. And I went looking for her, but she just come out of the blue, like. It was in the tea leaves, like, just like when I was going to win the governor belt, like. So every fight I had, I knew I was going to win, like. So they didn't have to tell me anything. So I said, get the hardest boys. That's what I said to Ricky English and Joey Pearl. Give me the good boys. Give me the proper boys. Give me the hard boys. And the boys are good, like, but I wanted, like, fucking world-class, like, you know, because I knew I was going to win. And that's like Tyson Fury, like, you know what I mean?
So after you got snitched out then, how did they catch you?
Oh, the police pulled me up in the car, like, come out with my hands up, like, you know what I mean? I had no quarrel with the old Bill, like, you know what I mean? And I the shooter I had hidden, like, you know what I mean? And it was under when I went to court, they said, why is the barrel shot off, sawn off the fucking the gun? I said, to fit it into the hole. It was too long. And they said, what do you have the gun for? I said, it was an antique. Listen, it was wrong. Any youngsters watching this, you know, I went into a stupid thing in the 80s, like, and it was for money, like. I was illiterate, so I wasn't doing it for the fame or fucking anything else, like. It was for money, and I had kids to feed, and I was caught up in the wrong sort of thing, like. I was the governor, like, early on, you know, before I become the governor of the ring as well, like. So, you know, I've got the belts. I've still got the belts now. Do you want to get the belts, darling? Yeah, I've got the belt Roy Shaw gave me. And Gary Furby, I passed the belt down to him. But that was the Roy Shaw belt was the governor belt of London. So I had the other belt out to say, like, this is worldwide, like, you know what I mean? It can go any country and it can go ever to what, you know what I mean? Black, white, Asian, whoever it is, any country, to anyone. And Gary Ferby, he was a good boxer.
Yeah, we've had him on.
He was. You know, he's really underestimated, Gary Ferby, like, you know what I mean? And I see him come out and he fought some pros, ex-pros, like, you know what I mean? Some top pros, what have been about for a long, long time. And he would stand there and he'd go the full distance with them, like. And that was he obviously got trained by his uncle, but that was the ability of him, like, this is how he could. And some of these even fought for European titles and everything. And he used to get in there. That was it. Come and show them, darling.
Wow, look at that.
That's the one Roy Shaw gave me. And that was Roy Shaw what gave me that. Okay. And this is the Spartan.
Good grief.
So on Comfort Spartan, there was a bare knuckle fighting.
Wow.
I was king of the street with the bare knuckles. That was the governor, me. King of the ring on license. That's the governor, that's me. I'm getting out late in life. So I can tell you the truth and how it was. That's the way it was, like. And I've got to thank to everyone, like, you know what I mean? Even though I didn't speak to Lenny, like, love your pieces, like, thank you for watching you as a kid, like, to give me that. You know, I thought, who's going to spit at him? Who's going to swear at him? Who's going to abuse him? Who's going to call him a tramp who walks down the road? You know what I mean? Who's going to... When I used to sit in Bedgrove School, I used to come back now and again. When I used to sit down, is it, what do they have in the morning? What, assembly? Is it assembly? We all sit down. I used to sit down, like, and the dogs used to piss over my clothes, like. Rebel used to rip them up as well. It was not a good life. And everyone used to sit 2 or 3 foot around me, like, you know what I mean? And I remember there was only a couple of Asian girls in the school, and they said, why don't you fuck off back to Spain? And I thought, but I'm English, like, you know what I mean? And things like that, like, bless them, like, you know what I mean? They were lovely girls, like, and I've total respect to the Asians. I mean, my daughter's married to, she's Muslim, like, my grandchildren are Muslim, a lot of my grandchildren, like, and, you know, we come from gypsies and Jews, and, I mean, I think the Irish had got it worse, because when they discovered America, the first white slaves over there were actually Irish, like, they were badly abused.
Potato famine.
So
when you got arrested then, what was it like fighting your case?
I was fucking useless. I couldn't read or write or anything, could I? You know what I mean?
Did you have a lawyer friend or anything?
Yeah, my brother had one from London. Like, he'd done a bit of time. He'd done a few years with Norman Parker. So he had his script as well for his book, the Parker's Tales. Norman Parker wanted to get out and get him a writer and get him. I think he got him set up for his first book, Norman Parker. I could never understand Norman Parker because he was intelligent. He come from a Jewish family, and he wanted to be a gangster. But you know,
it's called gangsteritis.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be. Oh, I love being with the gangsters. But I could never tax someone. I was like, she says, you're like mama, like her mum. I don't wish no harm to people, and I love everyone. I do love you all, like, even the haters I've tried to get on with, like, but some of them are wrong uns, like, and you got to break away from them, like. If you try and help too many people, well, I don't want to go back into depression, like, because I can't hold that weight around me. I can only hurt, I just help the certain people, like, Cad, you here? Where's Cad? Get him out here.
Don't get gangsteritis, folks. Like Two Tony said, keep your day jobs.
Keep your day jobs.
What?
This is Cad. Cad, come here, mate.
No, I'm all right.
Well, he don't. He's done 25 years, Cad. What you got to say, Cad? Have I been like a father to you?
Yeah, always have. Always will do. We go back
20
odd, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He come back here. Tell him the state you was in when you come back.
Oh.
He was bad. He said to me, I used to look after all my kids. Like, the wives are great. I mean, my first wife was Tracy. She was fantastic, a lovely woman. And Amanda, like, you know what I mean? You go through divorce, but it takes two of you, like, you know what I mean? I couldn't have been easy to live with, like. And each day he had a caravan down the bottom. I used to have about 20 or 30 caravans down the bottom. I used to, unbelievable, because my nan used to tell me the money's in property. You must buy property. And when I come out of prison, my dad left me a house in Church Street. And I had another bloke, a Syed, he used to let the rooms out. And I used to go around to it. He said, why don't you do that with your house? So a two or three bedroom, turned into a six bedroom and had three or four caravans outside there. That gave me enough money to buy a house in the Lakes. No, I got given the Lakes estate from my dad. I got a house in Fishermead. Then from Fishermead, Connerborough, I got another house there. I had about five or six. I couldn't even read or write. It was just that the death duty, when my dad died, he kept saying, I told you I should have put the houses in your name. And I said, Dad, I couldn't take the fucking houses off you. I couldn't mug you off. Bless them. They both died in their early 60s of cancer, like. But my dad's wishes was he'd come back to home. I used to live next door in the big house next door. That's where I was rather born in the caravan or in the house. One of the two, like. And his wishes had come back. He wanted to die, so he died in my bed or up in my room. That night, I had to sleep with him. He was dead, bless him. Like, oh, Jesus, he stunk. I didn't know dead bodies stunk so much. But the cancer, he wouldn't give in to it. Like, it was terrible. It ate my wine. He didn't want to die, like, you know what I mean? And they had to give him an overdose of, he wouldn't take the medication, painkillers. They had to give him an overdose of whatever it is to kill him off, like. And it was a shame. My mum as well, her last wish was go back to Cork, like. You know what I mean? She had eight weeks to live, like. So I took her back to Cork, like. It was terrible. Where was I anyway? Fuck, I'll get carried
you're
away.
You're on the prison years. The prison years, yeah. Did anyone challenge you in prison? Did you have fights?
Yeah, I had a few fights.
Over what?
Well, I had the wing, didn't I? The wing belonged to me, didn't it? Well, I thought the prison belonged to me, I'll be honest, like. Oh, fuck it. Yeah, I've got to tell you this. The screws were my mates. They were my mates, so they used to look after me, like, you know what I mean? On top of that, like, they knew me from the door so I could keep in control, especially on visits, if it kicked off on visits. They had it filmed as well where I kicked off once, like, and I wouldn't tolerate any shit, like, you know what I mean? And he couldn't believe it, Matt Legman was there, because I used to tell him what wing I'd want to go to talk to so-and-so. And the shooting and hours behind, I wanted to get out. I told the boys to come and see me when five or six of them got shot. It was Tony Winnick now. He's dead now, bless him. He didn't want to shoot them, like, you know. But he had one of them put an axe over his head and nearly killed him, like. And I just go for the wings cross there to sort them out because Tony went to prison. Chalky come in. I think he was involved. Stephen Wilson involved, Mark Marsh, there's Hodge. The fucking firms were coming in, like, from Aylesbury. You know what I mean? And I didn't really get too much. I hit a screw once, bless him, like.
For what?
No, he was, and I apologise to you, like, I love the screws. Thanks for looking after me. If you do a bit of time, boys, don't piss the screws off, because it's like life. You can't beat the system. You know, through life and what I've learned, it's be nice to people, show respect and be loyal, like, and don't grasp people up and try and help people. Reach out. If they reach out for you, don't take it all on, like, but just try and hand a little bit of love and respect back, like. It's like a prison system. You can't beat the prison system. You can't beat the screws. You think you're clever, giving them shit in that. I said, you know, when your letters come through or you send letters out, I had Francois from... two brothers, like, they sent a couple of letters out, one to his girlfriend, one to his wife. But what the screws done, they sent the letters. The one to his girlfriend went to his wife, the one from his wife went to his girlfriend. And they can do all sorts of tricks, like, you know what I mean? And the screws just want a peaceful life. You get some bad boys, like, with some of the screws are bad boys, like. And you can't beat the system. It's life. You can't beat life. Just try and be like just try and be a gentleman like yourself.
The kids think it's all PlayStations and gourmet food. What's the most horrible things you saw in prison?
Jesus. That's sugar and hot boiling water in someone's face, yeah.
What did that do to the face?
It melted his face. It was a YP. I went and spoke to the boy before he'd done it. I knew what was going on, like, and I said, listen, don't do this.
What was it over?
He said he was a grass. I said, listen, everyone's a fucking grass, like, you know what I mean? I said, well, I said, it's stupid, like. And the boy what done it, he got put down a block for that, like, and I kicked off for that. He should have put the, and I'll try to talk him out of it, but some of them won't listen. I met him a few years later, and he put sugar and yeah, boiling water in his face. I got in a few fights, and he was down the block, and when I went down the block, he had no mattress on his bed, and his window was open. It was freezing cold, and all he had on was a T-shirt. So I went and see the bloke on the wing, the top bloke. And I said, that's fucking out of order. So what do you do? He said, well, he should have done that. I said, I told him, and I'll give him a telling off. He should have done that. And I warned him about not doing that, like, you know what I mean? That's out of order. And I said, the boy's freezing over there, like, you know what I mean? And I didn't realise they'd take the mattresses away. I quite liked the block because it was nice and peaceful over there. But the screws are good as gold with me. They're okay. I didn't give them shit. Like, I hit one of them. I shouldn't have hit him, like, but in the body shot, I dropped him.
What did he say or do?
He was trying to make me... He was peeking me up to beat the bench pressing, like, I think 50 kilos 50 times or something like that. And I wasn't really into it. Like, I mean, Matt was up there. There was a few names up there. I did get up there at one stage. After a while, I apologised to them all. And I thought he was just... You're doing bird, like, it's stressful, like, you're on remand. And he kept egging me, and I thought he was having a pop at me. So I give him a slap in the belly. He says, hey, poor old cat. I can't show you. But I generally slap when I'm angry. I slap around the face, Jenny knocks him down. But I slapped him in the belly, like, a little punch, like, and he dropped on the floor and he was crawling out on his hands and knees. And the yellow arm went off and they all come in. And they were trying to get me banned from the gym, like, and I was keeping everything calm. Well, I'm calm in the prison, really. I was telling you, yeah, fucking, these screws, I'm saying they're all good, like. Tomo, you bloody screw, you. Yes, Tomo, you. I bought a dog off him when I got on the out, because I knew him before I went to prison, and I knew him in prison, and when I got out. And he showed me the fucking mail he had. It was a pit bull, Irish Staffel. They said it's a pit bull, really. He had me going, like, you know, just like one of the gangsters or someone fucking mugging me, a traveller with a fucking dog. And he showed me the dog. He said, it's had pups, like, you know. So this is the male. The female's had pups. He said, do you want one? I said, yeah, fucking. And it was pit bull, like, I thought, fuck it. I've come across a few before. They don't look vicious, but when they bite, they hang on, like. And I thought, yeah, I'll have one of them, like. I thought I'd give 20 quid. I went around his house and he gave me around his house. He had a beautiful wife at the time, like. And he was screwing in Woodhill Prison. But fucking, yeah, I had it. And after a few months, it fucking, like, grew into a zebra. It was fucking massive, it was. And people were saying to me, they said, do you use that dog? I said, not really. I said, I don't want it fighting, like. They said, no, in races, like, you know what I mean? As a fucking greyhound. I said, what are you talking about? And I got back to him. I said, the dog hasn't, it was a lovely dog. I'll give it to the ex-wife and kids. We called it, what do we call it now? Fucking, I forget what we called it, like. And I fooled him. I said, you can't. I said, he said, no. He said, the father wasn't a pit bull, like. He said, but the mother was a fucking, a racing dog, a fucking greyhound, like. Shit. So it's turned out a greyhound. And that was a screwing pigeon, like. And the next thing, something else is happening. He's disappeared over in Spain. Yeah, you. Yeah, I had to pay for it as well. And I thought it was an Irish bulldog. You know what I mean? A pit bull. But it was a fucking, a racing dog, wasn't it, like? But it was funny, like, you know what I mean? The people you'd meet in prison as well.
You said you had two fights, did you, in prison?
No, I had a fight with a screw, like, yeah. I had a fight, they were quite easy, you know what I mean? I'd come off, this is when I went to Caesar's Palace, I'd been through it all before, like. Maybe I weren't a gangster, maybe I didn't have books out or anything, but I'd seen it all. I'd been there and seen it all, like. So nothing with Caesar Palace was nothing new, apart from meeting the old man Joey Pole. The young Joey Pole was a lovely fella. Ricky English, total respect you all. Love you to pieces, like. And Lambrano's were lovely. Joey Pole used to bring them over from America. Gangsters from America, like mafia. And you'd be sitting there, like, and you'd come and sit with us. I used to feel embarrassed, like, because these like film stars are that, like. And he treated me good, like, you know what I mean? I love him for it, like.
Didn't you end up in Harlem yourself?
Harlem, yeah. God, fucking hell, yeah. I used to go up there. Once we caught a train up there by mistake with my first wife in the middle of the night. But another time it was for the Suits. I used to love the Harlem Suits, you know what I mean? And I used to go up there, like.
Is that from Harlem?
This is from Harlem. Yeah, this is from Harlem. One of my Harlem Suits. And I went through there. It's totally black. They're lovely people, like, you know what I mean? And I thought, should I get out, like, because, you know what I mean? On the bus going up there, like, it's, I got out, but as good as gold, like, you know what I mean? And I went in the shop, like, how you doing? And some of them would walk down the street with the suits on, the hats and everything, like, how you doing, brother? How you doing? I thought, fuck it, I want to be one of them. And I was never racist, so it didn't bother me, like, wearing their suits or that. And we went past this shop. I took my son up there, Brandon Buster. He was a good fighter. He was a good amateur, and he was a fantastic unlicensed fighter, he was. And I took him up there, and we went past this shop, this thing, outside stall, and it was like, the blacks where they used to hang the blacks, like, on out of trees and everything, like. And I was taking pictures, like. He said, don't take pictures, Dad, it's disrespectful. I said, no, if they put them up here, it's for the world to see, like, what the cruelty they went through. And they went through a lot of cruelty. And it was there. And also the Irish, like, they went through a lot of cruelty. Like, there was a lot of white slaves over there. And Harlem, you know, I liked it there. They were lovely, respectful, like, the black people there. Like,
what about Houdini?
Houdini. Yeah, that was the body punches I used to take. Like, my dad used to warn me about Houdini, the body punches. He said it killed Houdini. I said, how could it kill Houdini? He used to jump in the ice, didn't he? Chained up. I said, what was that boy? Did he get hit fucking by a shark or something in the sea? He said, no. He said, in years, like, when he died, his appendix exploded. It burst because he was holding his breath and everything, like. And it's the same what's happened to my solar plex. That's right there now. That should go in. Now and again, I push it in. It's back out there. And it's, he warned me and warned me and I wouldn't listen. And it's fucking burst. The appendix, the solar plex burst, like. But you should listen to your grandparents and your parents at times, like, because if they tell you something, they're old school. They know. They know better. Like, I didn't see that in the tea leaves either, or the cards. And they used to always tell, you know what I mean? My cousin and my grandma was always the tea leaves. She used to read the tea leaves or the cards, like. And I think that's why Tyson Fury, he knows he's on top now. Like, when he fought that fella, three fights he fought him. Who was his name?
Deontay.
Deontay Wilder. I thought, how the fuck can anyone beat him from any
when
era?
He just bounced back up like he hadn't.
Yeah,
even hit.
Yeah. I thought, how can anyone? He's going to get knocked out, and I was sure he was going to get knocked out. But I wasn't expecting to bounce back up. But he must have seen that in his tea leaves or his card somewhere, like, because every fight he had, he knew, and he knows he's going to keep winning them. Like, he's not only the one of the greatest boxers in England, the world champion. He'll go down in history as being one of the greatest, along with Ali, Mike Tyson. Like, we had another. Lennox Lewis was fantastic as well. He should get a bit more credit, like. But the Gypsy King now, he's not only a credit to the gypsies, he's a credit to human beings, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he said the other day, my missus got it, he said, listen to this. And he said, listen, don't ever disrespect your wife. He said, you want to keep one person happy, it's your wife. And that's my thing as well. Your best friend's your wife. You sleep with your wife. You tell your wife everything. Be sweet. Be loyal. Don't ever fuck about with your wife. Don't disrespect her. Like, don't cut her up. Because, you know what I mean? She could come back at you one day.
Good advice.
And like, you know what I mean? If you don't, with my two wives before them, like, you know what I mean? I was half decent, so I don't disrespect them, like, you know what I mean?
I'm friends with all my ex-wives.
Yeah, yeah, I am as well. One comes round, Trace drives me mad, she does. She comes round about the boys all the time, like, and Amanda comes, but she don't come in, like, but she's over Milton Keynes now. The last thing I said to her is just remember the good times we had, like, I used to take, she's never been abroad before. I took her to Disney World with the kids. Then I took her to, from there, we went to New York. From New York, we caught a coach up to, what's up north there? What's up north? The country, the other country.
Canada,
yeah.
Niagara Falls, all that
Niagara
stuff.
Niagara Falls, yeah, we went to Niagara Falls. A Thousand Islands, we went there, Hearts Island. Mm-hmm. Then we went into, we went travel all around.
Toronto,
yeah. And it was all the coach trip. Then I took her to, it's crazy because I could barely read or write. Yeah, when I used to get depressed, I said, what am I going to do? Everything goes through your mind. Just catch a plane miles away, like, and it'd be Cuba, like. Went to Cuba. And it was great because the Spanish I learned in Spain, I could talk to the Cubans. So I could get on along with the Cubans, like. Or even Thailand or all of Africa. And I used to get a plane anywhere. And I used to ask people all the time for direction, what do you do? What do I do here? And one time I went to see the missus. She was in... Nanette, where did you work? Dubai, wasn't it?
Dubai, yeah.
Dubai. I went to Dubai, caught a plane to, well, we had to go somewhere first, then to Dubai. And when I got down, she looked stunning. She looked beautiful. Like, she worked there for the Arabs, like. And I said, how long have you been waiting here? She said, 2 days or something, like, or 2 nights or something like that. She said, they let me come early, like. And I thought, oh, bless her, like. And she looked so beautiful, like. And we got a hotel, got in a taxi. Taxis are cheap because the petrol is cheap. The oil is cheap over there. And she took me around the tallest building in the world and the biggest aquarium in the world. And, oh, she took me around. It was beautiful, like, you know what I mean? And she used to work, she used to babysit, like, and teach the kids English. And while she was teaching them English, she's practically fluent in a rate. What's that language you speak, darling? She speaks loads of.
Wow.
She's a simple girl, you wouldn't think, but she's so intelligent, like. And she'd be talking Arabic, and then she would talk in her own language, different dialects, every island we go to, like. And it was something else, like. So if you ever get depressed out there and you feel like Harry Carey or just blowing your head off, get a ticket to America or Africa or Middle East and go out and see the world, like. And that depression will go, like. It will disappear. Mind you, when I come back, I caught the wrong plane back and ended up in Turkey. And the hours had gone back, so everything was fucked up, wasn't it, like? So you do get on the wrong plane now and again, and you do make mistakes. But I got home eventually, like, you know what I mean? And I've seen a bit of the world. I've been out there, and it's beautiful, like. Philippines is lovely. It reminds me of Spain like it was in the 60s. And they all speak a tiny bit of Spanish with the Filipino.
What do you say to the young people in Norman, just to finish, who've got gangsteritis?
Please, don't go there, boys. Don't, my mates are, I love my mates to pieces. Some of them are proper hardy gangsters, like, you know what I mean? Some are not hardy gangsters. And the old man, Joey Poe, he was proper, but he never got me involved. And if it's a proper gangster, they'll say, no, don't go there. Like, you know, even Dave Courtney, like, he never got me involved in the dirty things, like, the naughty things, like. And he's always been, I always get a phone call off him. Like, I do like Dave. I know he's upset a few people, but if you're going to do business with a gangster, expect, you know what I mean? You could get ripped off, you know what I mean? You know, you could get your house burnt down and, worse than that, you know, don't go that way. Like, if you can get a job and you're education's the way forward. Without education, we're nothing, like, you know what I mean? Lucky I got an educated wife, so I've gone on in life. Show the parrot, darling. Bring the parrot here.
So, gangsteritis ends in the prison, police, and death.
But yeah, in the prison, like, I left my demons behind in the prison, like, you know what I mean? I started going scatty towards the end. I don't think it was spirits, like, the evil spirits getting in my head. I think I created a person, like, what I had to become to deal with nasty people. Bring the parrot in, darling.
Put it on my arm. Oh.
Got the cat here anyway.
So, Norman, is there anything like you want the viewers to check out, like your book or anything?
Matt Legg. Yeah.
We're going to put Matt Legg's channel in the description box below this video.
And my mate from up north, he was in trouble that time when Joey called me out. Governor!
Steve Rafe.
I like the tax man.
Brian Cockrell.
Well.
We've had him.
Brian Cockrell. Oh, he's lovely. Yeah, Brian. Yeah. Brian. Even from Aylesbury, I'd have people saying, like, can you have a word with Brian? Like, I was going, who is he? He's up north, like, you know what I mean? I said, let me do some homework on him. And I watched a couple of his fights. He was a fucking great amateur, you know? Yeah. He was a good amateur. I don't know why he didn't turn pro. He was like I'm not telling you, you know what I mean, any porky pies. What I see of him, he was like a Muhammad Ali, like.
He's picking cars up, wasn't he, in one of those videos?
That's when he went into bodybuilding.
Yeah.
But I think he could have been a legend in the boxing world. Because when I sized him up and I thought, I wouldn't like to box him, like, you know what I mean? The fella couldn't touch him. Every time he threw a punch, he was like Muhammad Ali, he just backed off, like, you know what I mean? Moved about and he was fucking, what a great boxer. And that was, you know what I mean? And I knew in the boxing world, then a few boys would talk about him. Like, he did pick up cars and it was...
Yeah.
And he could take a hiding like me as
so,
well.
So strong. With Lee Duffy as well.
So we'd be beating each other up all fucking night, wouldn't we, me and him? But he was about, you know, I said, I'll give that one a miss, like, yeah. You know what I mean? I think it was Frankie Ross. I was saying about my mate here, like, he used to live down the back here. I was just talking about him. He come here and he was fucked. He said, Norman, if you turn me away. And I had a house for the kids. I used to look about five or six kids. Mm. I looked at him, like, and he was like a Matt Legg or a Steve Francis, like, and I said, I'm chancing it, mate, but I'm telling you now, like, you got to come off the shit, like. And for months and months, he was just stuck in his bedroom, like, he's going and taking food and everything. And he's been with me ever since, like, you know what I mean?
That's great.
He's even stopped drinking alcohol now. Mm-hmm. He's a lovely geezer, but if he got a drink in him, like, he want to fight the world, like, you know?
Yeah.
And I was going, I said, you got kids back up north. You're going to have to start travelling back and thinking about your children now, like, you know? But sometimes you take a chance on someone, and they pay you back like Matt Legg. They pay you back. And like my mate here, Cad, he looks after me. He's good as God. That's why Nanette don't mind him. Like, she says, like, you know what I mean? He's there and he looks after you. He looks after the kids as well. And I give him a chance. And it's paid me back for the rest of the life, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? And what a chance to take. I knew if I let him in the door, what could happen, like, you know what I mean? And I've even had the old Bill, like, come around and looking for him. I said, no, Cad. I said, you know, he comes and goes. Like, they said, well, you know. I said, listen, the fella come to the door. Like, he used to be here years ago, like, and he went back to Hartlepool. And I said, he was a lovely fella, like, you know what I mean? And I said, he's come back. And I said, if I turned him around, I said, he walked from Milton Keynes in the soaking rain, like, it's about 25 miles. And I said, he would be dead, like. I said, I took a chance. And I said, he don't even drink now, you know what I mean? He's a lovely fella, like. That's sometimes you've got to take a chance with people.
That's it, isn't it? You've got to take a chance you've with got people. To change when they're in a bad place.
Yeah, yeah.
And focus on the positive qualities and hope it comes out. That's really heartwarming, what you've said.
I've taken, Billy Joe, my son's wife, Lisa, she moved up to Liverpool, like, and she was in all sorts of trouble. When I used to work down the Agora in Wolverton, and I took her on, like, and that's how we got Billy Joe come along, like, you know what I mean? But she was in all sorts of trouble, like, and I got attached to her. I shouldn't have got attached to her. I should have just helped her on and moved her on, like, so that was a bonus. I got a kid out of it as well, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes people and she is her husband, she was in trouble with her husband and he's scared of me and you know what I mean, and it all mixed up and everything, and it can cause trouble, so you just got to use your common sense, like, you know what I mean? If it's going to be too much trouble, let it go, like. But you give it a chance, and if it works out, then it works out. But some people, like, you know, I have boys from prison that still come around my house, knock me up. There you go, all right. Who's a one over in Ireland? I forget his name now. He comes, but oh, I had some good friends. He's Australia. He's gone. Charlie Bronson was the bloke in prison. Charlie Bronson's the one in prison, wasn't he?
Still in prison, yeah. He's coming up for 40, 50 years, isn't he?
Charlie Johnson. He was a great, great welterweight over in Blitzy Worlds. He contacts me now and again, and he could hit. He was like another Tyson, Mike Tyson, he was like. And when I used to spar with him, like, his dad used to get us down there and it's going, look, go hard on him, or go, you know what I mean? They used to get us really having a tear up. He said, you're bringing out the best in him, like. And it was like being hit in the head by a brick, like, you know what I mean? And he used to knock everyone out. But he'd gone up the pub and got in a fight with someone. A gang of Northerners pulled the knives out and stabbed him up and caught his liver. And, he couldn't box again, like. But he's over, I think he's over Australia or down... What's the little place called? What a lot of the English go to. New Zealand. Yeah. And I wish him all the luck and love in the world. There was a few boys with old sparring partners. Like, there was Mighty Mo Smithers from Bletchley Royals. You know, I totally loved him. Like, he was a lovely fella. Ray Lewis, I think he's gone over there, Australia, New Zealand. He's moved over. Del Brown's still about. Del Brown was a fan. He could have got a long, long way. And there was always the brothers. Bennett's, Neville Bennett, Barry Bennett, and Derek Bennett. And they were great boxers. Like, I had fantastic. I mean, they all went. Barry was a professional boxer. Ray Lewis is in the ABAs. He always, I don't know if he got to the finals, he always won the ABAs. Del Brown was always going, these are all ABAs fighters. So I was in with the best when I was sparring, always in with the best boys, like. And when I come out, I used to have the gypsy boys used to come down here. One was only 15 years old, trying to take me in out for 3 rounds. So, and his dad was telling him off. He said, stop trying it. I said, no, let him go, like. I knew he was burning himself out. So I turned it around in the fourth and the fifth, and he said, no more. He just quit, like, you know. And I said, how old are you, son? And he was 15 years old.
Wow.
And his dad had brought him down here to spar with me. And he was quite chuffed with it, like, you know what I mean? And I said, why don't you get down to boxing club? And I had him down, Paddy Duran, he was, the Duran brothers. He had another one, Jimmy and Johnny Duran. And they were fantastic. But his dad said, I said, why don't you get him through his medical? I said, he'd be a great boy. He said, no, the boys want to travel the world. Like, let them see him. But now two of them are over in America and one of them's over in Australia. And they got loads of work. They've really done well for themselves. Like, so like his dad said, he could have turned pro and lost a few fights, won a few fights, or not made it at all. But they've made it in the business mind. And this is great how the travellers get on in life. You know what I mean? Absolutely fantastic, like, you got to admire them. And a lot of the Asian people come over and they used to take stick in the 60s and 70s. And they're doing really well for themselves now. And of course, first of all, it was the Irish, what used to take a lot of shit off the English. Like, you know what I mean? And they're all married in, like, and one day it'll be a mixed world. We'll all be tanned up, probably a bit of a tan. You know, it'll be Asian European. Then I think within a few hundred years, maybe a 500 years, it would be black, Asian, European. So Europe will be the world mixed in, like, you know what I mean? And I'm sure everything will get better in the world. It'll get easier.
We've been doing a bit with Dougie Joyce and Dean Lynch Ward promoting the 3D Fight Club in Manchester.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him, yeah.
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 And you've done stuff with the Joyce family over the years, haven't you?
Paul Joyce. I went there with Matt, fought Paul Joyce.
That's it. Yeah, that was a fight, wasn't it?
Jesus Christ. I felt like jumping in and I thought, fuck that. They had a crowd there as well. But they're best of friends, Matt Legg and Paul Joyce. But I was watching him and the bloke is something else, you know. how he didn't become like Tyson Fury, I don't know. And the speed of him for such a big lad. He was only 19 and he must have been going 20 stone, 21 stone. A good 6'6" he must have been.
Yeah.
And the first round, I felt sorry. I wanted to grab his ankle. I know it's cheating, but probably the gypsy in me, like, you know what I mean? Mm. Paul Joyce's ankle as he's in a corner, like, to slow him down, like, to make him triple say. But they would have murdered me for it. I know they would have done, like, they would have killed me for it, like, so I didn't. And I felt sorry for Matt because I brought him into the fight game.
Yeah.
And he was fighting some good travellers, like, you know what I mean? And this man was a giant of a man, like, total respect to the man, like, how he's not up there with Mike Tyson, like, but he's another one, like, the family obviously had businesses. I think it was pave slabbing and all that stuff. Just like Paddy Duran with his, he wanted his kids to go abroad and do everything. They had different roads, like. One in a million, like, as a boxer, you can make it, like. I mean, last night was Finger Bob's son, wasn't it? Like, who was it now?
It was last night.
Boxing last night.
Eubanks Jr. Yeah,
he got stopped, bless him, like, you know what I mean? I thought he was going to be there like his dad, like, but it's a shame boxing can end that way. Mm. It can end nasty, and sometimes you can end up drunk, and sometimes you're going to get that gangster, whatever it's called.
Gangster writers.
So, you know, and a lot of the travellers can see a bigger picture out there, like, you know. But Paul Joyce, I thought, Jesus Christ. He was only a kid at 19 as well. And I wouldn't have liked to box him. Like, you know what I mean? No. Fucking Matt could have a row, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously.
And he's such a gentleman as well.
And he's such a lovely, that's what I see in prison with him, like. And I said, it's not like that out in the world, mate. I said, yeah. I said, well, do you fancy being gang ranked by a gang of fucking junkies, like, on steroids? I said, that's what's happening out there in the world. I said, look, mix of the gangsters, like, turn a boxer, like, they'll respect you for it, like. I said, don't become a gangster. But I said, you like me, you like being with them, you feel comfortable with it in the company. I said, that's okay, like, you know. I said, but don't, just be careful, son, like. Because I said, listen, the last fellow, you know, he reached out for my help, ended up getting taken up the woods and shot dead, like. So I said, I'm trying to help you. And he listened to everything. And, he's alive now, and I'm grateful, and I'm over the moon with it. Like, he's got a lovely woman, and she, something about her, like, she's something spiritual about her, like, she picks up on things, and I can just see the beauty in her, like, lovely, and she'll just be right with Matt, like. I mean, his wife and his girlfriends before were beautiful as well, but, you know, it's come later on in life, and now it's his chance to get on in life. I mean, he's doing what you guys are doing, and I wish you guys all the best luck in the world. Thank like, you. And I think he's going to be successful because the bloke I took him to go and see when he was a youngster, he was in all sorts of problems. Like he his future was disgusting as well. Like he had a bad things coming. So I took him to see a fella off the market. Like he spoke about him. And, a little while ago on camera, like, and he couldn't believe. He said, Norman, he said, how does he know about all what's going to happen? Like, I said, he's tipping you off. Obviously, these things are going to happen, but you know it's coming, mate. So you're going to be ready for it. Like, so be aware. He said, what, really? And there was, you know, he might have even taken his own life, but there was people around him. What's going to end up in prison or dead? Like, and he got told this. And he stuck to it. And every time I see him, like, I said, you still with these people? Like, I said, you need to break away, mate. And he couldn't believe what happened, like. But he got told a bit of the future. And he believed what he got. And it fucking come true as well. What was worse? I mean, I'm no fortune teller. I don't know what's coming wrong. It's just that I knew. And this is what I said to him, like, you know what I mean? The people are suffering depression. They want to commit suicide. Their spirits out there, what will help you? You just got to be guided. You got to find these spirits and you got to listen to them. There's bad spirits as well, like, but you just pick up on the good spirits and hopefully they'll guide you the right way. You got to remember, like, you got to be kind. You got to reach out. You got to just try and be good in life, like, you know what I mean? Go straight. Education's the way forward. With all that, like, you won't go wrong. Becoming a gangster, you're mixing up with the wrong lot, mate. You know what I mean? Especially what's going on in the '80s. What was going on? I was after talking to Freddie Foreman, like I said, it's changed. I said, at least there's a tiny bit of dignity there, even with the craze. You know, they did go off the rockers, like, you know what I mean? But I mean, what Ronnie done, that was his business, his own time, like, you know what I mean? But you know, he wouldn't go out there and bloody torture and rape and gang rape blacking boys. This is what I mean. It was different in the '80s. Like, no disrespect for the craze, like, you know what I mean? Or admire them as boxers. Like, they were schoolboy champions. That's like ABA champions. And they were great fighters. Like, you know what I mean? They did try and keep everything in trim. Like, and they did tax people. Like, it was a bit naughty, and they done some naughty things. But you know what I mean? They were a firm from London, but stick out from everyone else, like, you know what I mean? And I would like to say in the days, back in the 60s, when I used to go out to London, Spitfield Market, I met your man, was it Ray Hill? I loved him, he was lovely, like. And when you can hear the big boys gossip, like, they would gossip, like, and you could see what they're talking about, the craze, but it would go quiet, it's craze, yeah. You know, the craze, yeah. And you could try and let, and I used to try and wig ear, listen to it, like, going, go on, fuck off, go on, get out of here. And it was great, but that was the respect they had. They were feared, I mean, really feared. And these days, people talk about them like they're trash, you know. But even I can remember them when they were feared, like, you know. But I'm not saying what they done was wrong, a lot of things they done was wrong, but you know, it's Manny Clark was another fellow I used to hang about with. You know Manny Clark? Mm-hmm. He's still fighting now, he is, Manny Clark. I remember he said to meet me in a pub in Hemel Hempstead. Was it Hemel Hempstead? Yeah. I'm sure he's from Hemel. Yeah, he's from Hemel. And I went in this pub. And can you remember the 70s, the films in the 70s? There was The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. And there was Angel Eyes.
I watched all them with my dad.
Can you remember Angel Eyes out of it? Angel Eyes. You see, you said those blue eyes.
Blue eyes.
You used to stare, didn't they? And the good, the bad, and the ugly at the graveyard, where they're all shooting each other, yeah, and stuff like that. Anyway, I walked into this pub. He asked me to meet him there, like, and this fella was staring at me, like, he was sitting on a stool, like, his eyes are like that, like, and I thought, oh, that's a bit spooky, like, you know. And I walked in the pub and I sat down, like, and he'd look over, like, and I thought, fuck me, what's his problem, like, you know what I mean? And he had this stare about him, like, and Manny come in, he went up to him, talked to him, come over to me. I said, what's up with your fucking old, what's up with the old boy over there, like? He said, that's my dad, he thought you'd come in to do him, like.
Oh.
It was George Clark, yeah, Manny Clark's dad. Mm. He was a big boy from London, he'd just moved down there. And it was great meeting those sort of people, like, you know what I mean? Manny was a good mate, like, we used to work with Manny. I took him on the tours with me when I used to do groups. He might have been there with the Sunrise or the Raves. I worked over Chesham. What was a big club over in Chesham? Oh, he's going to kill me now because I can't remember the club now, like. But Stages, that's it, the big club over Stages. I used to knock about with him a lot. And I think he buried the craze. He didn't kill the craze, but he looked after Ronnie Craze's coffin overnight, along with Dave Courtney and everyone, like, you know. But the people I've met over the years has been fantastic, and total respect to them, like, you know what I mean? And now I've got a good wife, and I'll sit back. I wouldn't change my life because, you know, I believe if you keep things sweet, like, good things can come. And, you know, sometimes they come late in life. And that's what I've got to tell people, like, you know what I mean? You've got to be patient in life. You might take it up the arse and get slapped all your life and get spat in and kicked, like, you know what I mean? But one day it will turn around, like, you know what I mean? It's terrible because some people are just, like, my dad was a beautiful man, but he was born to suffer, like, always, you know, hard work, you know what I mean? Working all the time to keep the mortgage on the house, and it was all the hours under the sun he used to work. And it was terrible, like, you know, some people have nothing but bad luck. But you got to still try in life. You still got to be positive and just try and get along, like, you know. Some people don't. They take it up the arse all their life. Then they, the last minute, they turn around and just turn evil and nasty and spiteful, like, you know what I mean? And that's where the devil gets hold of you and turns you, like, got to be positive in life, try and help people, and good things will come. But even if it don't, like, the next life it will come, like, you know what I mean? We all got to go to that court in the sky, haven't we? Was it Judgment Day? We all got to go there at the end, like, you know? And we've got to put our hands up to a few things, like, and I used to think, when my nan used to do the tea leaves, and my auntie used to do the tea, well, my cousin used to do the tea leaves, how can they see in the future? How is that possible, like? And I wonder if our future's already written out for us. I was inside, and he was a Turkish fella, and he'd kidnapped and killed someone, like, you know what I mean? It's Turks, quite nasty, like. And he said he was a lovely fella, and he said some of my best friends were lifers, like, you know, they made a mistake. We were all in there to be punished, like, you know what I mean? And it was none of my business, like. And he says, I'm getting punished in life now. I did the rest of my life in prison. He said, but when I die, I'll go to hell and get punished again, like. And I was thinking, listen, mate, sometimes your life's already written out. You can't change. It's just that the lucky people realise you can change your life for the better, like. But you just got to hope and pray, like. You got the spirits there. You got, you know, you got that good luck. And it's nice to see successful people. I mean, people like Tyson Fury, like, I think he's great, you know what I mean? And I envy him, but I envy him because he's lovely and he's great. But I couldn't be jealous. I couldn't hate someone because they're rich and famous and all that. You know what I mean? I think they're great because they're rich and famous. Yeah. Film stars.
People should encourage people, not be jealous.
No, they should encourage people, like, you know what I mean? Put a bit of love out there, you know what I mean? Bit of respect. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way, and it don't cost nothing, does it?
No.
Don't cost nothing at all, like.
Well, Norman, huge thank you for telling us your story.
Parrot. Can you get a parrot over? Can we get the parrot over?
If you're watching this, all the links will be in the description box.
Come on.
For Matt Legg's channel, for Norman's book. Also, our sponsor, Coro. 5% discount, true crime. Coro UK. Links are going to be down there as well. We're bringing over the parrot right now. Oh, here we go. Look at this beautiful bird. Wow. Wow. That's going to be a good thumbnail picture, isn't it?
Oh, it's gone.
What we could do is we could get a picture of you separate with it.
Oh.
Thanks, Norman.
Cheers, mate. Yeah. Thank you. It's been lovely, gents.
Yeah, thank you. Chet Sandhu's book is finally available worldwide on Amazon. He's one of our most viral podcast guests ever. The book is called Self-Made, Dues Paid, An Asian Kid Who Became an International Drug Smuggling Gangster. Do you want to read some of the back, Jen?
Yeah, go to the blurb. In 1999, Chet Sandhu was arrested at gunpoint in Alicante Airport for smuggling the largest quantity of illicit pharmaceutical drugs in Spanish history. Interesting. Overnight, he went from living in the shadows of the Costa del Crime's underworld to being labelled a notorious supervillain in the international press. Incarcerated alongside murderers, rapists and terrorists in a super maximum security wing, he had to navigate a world of murderous knife fights, prison breaks, drug taking and high-stake power plays. Good bedtime read.
In Self-Made Jews Paid, learn how a British-born Asian kid with disabilities, raised in a corner shop, emerged as a protector of his family from racist thieves and hooligans. Be prepared to be entertained, informed and offended by Chet's no-holds-barred account of raves, drugs, bodybuilding, entering the fashion industry. Did you know that he dated Kylie Minogue and Naomi Campbell?
Latest interview.
Working the doors and life in one of the world's deadliest places to be incarcerated. If you enjoyed Chet's podcast series with us, there's a lot more detail in the book. Check it out. Worldwide on Amazon, ebook, paperback, and audiobook.